This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Please let the affiliates down the line know that this is not a test. We actually started on time for the first time
in many weeks.
We are not a full cast, but
we are
on time. I think the clearing out of the Republican Party nominee, you know, clearing that one out just freed up some time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm into it.
Who knows if Kasich is just lost somewhere?
Yeah,
in the Ethernet.
Well, that's true. Does he even know where he is?
So, a funny comment was just made earlier on MSNBC.
Was it by Rachel Maddow?
It was actually, because they were talking about when Cruz finished up his speech that he was suspending his campaign and all that. They were talking to somebody, Michelle Wallace. Is that her name? Is that right?
Yeah,
Nicole Wallace.
I'm sorry. And then the other gentleman, I forget what his name is, but he's the one that knows all of the master rules behind everything to do with the GOP thing. And Rachel was talking to them, and she all of a sudden she's like, Kasich's not even listening to us. He's already home in bed.
Yeah.
Like, she starts making these comments. I'm like, wow. She's like, she said he hasn't campaigned in weeks. Like, really? Like, you know, he's not doing anything. He just shows up and says a couple things.
Literally phoning it in.
Yeah.
No, he campaigned in Indiana. Oh, no, he didn't. He stopped. He's campaigning somewhere. Now that I think about it, I don't know where that is.
Well, she just alluded to the fact that he had already gone home.
I just realized he pulled out of it. They all left Indiana. That's why. And Hillary hadn't spent any money on Indiana, which is funny because
she doesn't need to.
No. And right. Like Bernie outspent her 2-1. He spent like $18 million in New York just to lose. And then I'm so sick of fucking Bernie Sanders. I can't stand it. Now I hate him. Now he's off into the you're an asshole list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Rachel helped me solidify
that. Let's be real.
It's
not like it's hard to get on that list for you.
No, it really isn't. But that press conference this weekend just turned my stomach. I listened to that thing and I'm like, you're a 6-year-old.
For those of us that may have been under the rock, would you like to recap that press camp?
He did a one-year.
I did as much read up
I would
as
like
I could,
a reenactment, actually. Could you just
ooh,
do
can we reenact? Oh, better.
That's what it was.
Yeah, but your shoulders weren't hunched. Yeah.
Late for a plane. Why is that? Let me make one thing perfectly clear.
That is fantastic. my gosh.
No, so he had a press conference. It was to celebrate, I guess, the one year since he announced his candidacy.
Good job.
And in the press conference, he just started this whole thing of how Hillary wasn't going to be able to get enough delegates to make it to get the nomination without superdelegates. So now, after pissing and moaning, and he and his little Bernites, like, all over everybody about how undemocratic and how unfair superdelegates are, well, he wants to go to the convention
and contest superdelegates.
And get superdelegates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because, I mean, the rules are unfair unless they're unfair in my favor.
Right.
And then
so all of a sudden,
that's rule number one of politics.
Yeah, it's the only Democratic way to go. And it's like, first off, you're not running as a Democrat for your Senate seat in Vermont, which I've hated him since then. Because I'm like, if you're a Democrat, then you need to be a Democrat on your home state of Vermont.
But all as it turns out, math-wise, according to NPR, Bernie needs 82% of the remaining delegates with superdelegates to win. Like, he needs a lot.
Yeah. And, like, West Virginia.
A lot.
And now, today's vote, we were talking about this yesterday. Indiana was one of those states that could swing. Like, Obama got it blue. Mm-hmm. They went blue for Obama. Today, the last vote total I saw, Trump got more votes than Hillary and Bernie combined. So, Indiana ain't going blue.
Mm-mm.
But they're a completely open state. You don't register as anything there. You just register to vote, and then you just do whatever you want to once you're in the ballot box.
For the first time in my life, I kind of want to move to Indiana.
Yeah, it's very, very open.
Kind of.
They don't allow robocalls, which we learned from Rachel Maddow yesterday, and they're very strict on...
Oh, yeah, that was a very interesting thing about that.
Very strict on robocall rules, so if you want to poll somebody, you have to have an actual person make the phone call. It's not just press one, press two. Someone has to make the phone call and talk to a human being. So
that's handy.
And Indiana's never really had a lot of polling for all these reasons, and they've never really mattered in this late into the primary process. They very rarely have any kind of say.
Sure.
So it's been kind of exciting Because we are getting what we talked about early in the season, that like all these people down the line don't get a say because it's decided by Super Tuesday. Well, this year, like Bernie, go ahead, stay until the end.
We're on Super Tuesday, like number 78. I'm so tired of Super Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And that's all rules changed to help Jeb Bush win, of course.
Right.
That worked out real well.
But none of these Tuesdays have been super in my mind.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see, but it's also good that they're going to get this late. Like, I think the Republicans only have 8 states left, and I think they both have 8 states left. I think
that sounds about right.
They're down to the wire, and you know, Bernie could win all 8. Like, Hillary's not spending any money in California either, which cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
She's not campaigning in California because
you're liberal as fuck out there.
Because mathematically, she only needs 35% of the remaining pledged delegates.
Welcome.
I did laundry earlier.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I did laundry.
And she only needs 18% of delegates if you're including superdelegates. Like, yeah. She mathematically needs almost nothing.
Right.
She needs less than you should tip your bartender.
Yeah, so she's Shayla.
Nice analysis.
And California's kind of, it's pretty solid blue.
Right. Yeah. All the time.
You know, the campaigning in Ohio, the campaigning in Pennsylvania, very important to spend that money there because that's the start of your general campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But once you realize Indiana is going to go red, then
get out.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if they campaign here, if Arizona with our Hispanic population.
Speaking of that, did you see this past weekend, old Brewer got her panties all on a wad over the fact that she wasn't picked to be a delegate and it's all unfair and everything's been, and everybody on national news has been like, nope, it's exactly how it was set up to do. Everything worked exactly as it was set to do.
As designed.
And there's a small chance that people don't like her.
No.
I don't want to throw that out there.
Meh.
I want to start rumors.
Right, exactly. No, I don't want to be negative Nancy all the time.
But I did think that was kind of funny. Oh, they were screaming foul the other night about that. I'm like, oh, shut up. For God's sakes. It's everything. Again, like you said, unless the rules play in your favor, it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
They see.
Yeah, and then, you know.
This is what I've learned from politics.
I've learned that from the show.
And the millennials, like, they got
there are rules on this show?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no.
No, oh, no. Okay. No, I just know that nothing ever goes my way. So yeah. It's like, that's how it works.
See, and that's the important rule for all these young people that are all excited about Bernie. Sometimes your candidate loses.
Yeah.
But you keep voting. And you vote in other parts of the election, too.
Mm-hmm. Vote in all of the other parts of the election. Right. They're so very important.
Oh, so. Because
they're all going to take their, you know, take their sweaters and go home or whatever it is they're carrying around. Yeah. But I'm like, hey,
no,
I voted against, I lost to Bush and Reagan, so.
Vote for your state legislators because they're the ones that are robbing your education system. Vote for
and
your city people.
And passing laws about public bathrooms.
Right. Mm-hmm. Vote for those people and get all of those old Republican assholes out of there. And even the old Democratic assholes out. Like, get them all out.
Yeah.
Get new people. Fresh blood. We need some fresh blood on both sides.
I'm all about the term limits now.
Oh, yeah.
On all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they absolutely should be on many things. Many things should be termed out.
I'll give you like
sheriff of Maricopa
terms
County,
as a senator, possibly 2 if I get any pissier, if I get any more like Bernie Sanders crotchety.
You will,
yeah,
I'm sure. I can see it.
Like 3 each, 3 terms for a congressman. That's 6 years.
So we're assuming that he's not already there.
No, I think he's still got some margin
more,
to grow.
More crotchetiness to be had.
There's more crotchetiness.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait.
And this is after a massage, a massage. Oh.
You had a massage today?
Oh, they just massaged vodka out of me.
Oh. Probably a true story.
So basically, they squeezed you like a sponge.
Exactly. Made a couple of drinks.
A little vodka here, a little vodka there.
What was it?
Freshly squeezed out of a Hawaiian shirt.
That one. Don't die. Please don't die.
Jesus.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm not certified for any kind of life saving.
Yeah, he is.
No.
He might be, but I don't know if he likes you that much.
A piece of popcorn went the wrong way.
Oh, popcorn is dangerous.
It is when you're trying to talk and breathe and eat it.
The number of people I've seen almost die over popcorn is disproportionate, really.
Well, we're not going to have it tonight.
Let's not do that today.
Yeah.
No.
Not today, Zane.
Not today, Zane.
That commercial's back on.
Is it? I wish I watched
Not today, Berta.
Not tonight, Berta.
Yeah. I was in the other room and I heard that shit. I'm like, oh no, Berta's back. Berta lived to see another spring.
Berta's back and she's mad as hell.
Exactly. This time it's personal.
This time it is personal, Berta. I get it. That's funny.
So what you been up to, Kat, while he chokes
yeah,
it
out? Oh my goodness, yeah, don't die. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome.
It's been I believe a month since I was here last.
Has it been that long?
No.
I've been off two for weeks. Three, so no, off for three.
Oh, you're off for three?
Mm-hmm. Yep, because I declared that I was not going to be here
right.
for family reasons, and then I declared that I had so much stuff on my plate that I was literally dreading coming here as though it were something else to do.
Yeah.
Oh, and so I was like, well, you know, maybe. I mean, the pay is good, but I feel like it's not that good.
Oh, by the way, speaking of pay, Marnie's chair is missing because Marnie's not coming tonight. So if those of you wondering if she's just her normal late, nope. Marnie is preoccupied.
Is that her penance for not coming? Is that she doesn't get a chair? Yeah. Well,
I just don't want to break
not even an absentia will we honor
her. We're not going to walk around it. I mean, the microphone's still in the shot. You can still see where she should be talking, but...
But I wish I could report that I've been doing something fun, but it's just been regular life is crazy. It turns out it's harder than it looks sometimes to juggle, like, a couple of jobs and some kids and a little bit of fun. And,
right, right.
And then 2 weeks ago, I went ahead and wrecked the van for a little while.
Oh, no. So, yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, we were curious.
Nothing especially serious.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I got hit in the front end, head-on in an intersection, but not hard enough to trigger anybody's airbags.
Oh, that's good.
Of all the people in the world to run into, he was the nicest guy. Stood there and talked to him forever because, you know, we pulled off to a parking lot because everything was still drivable. I had one of the kids in the car, so we assessed the situation. I called Sharon. I said, he doesn't need to sit here for this. Like, we're waiting for the cops to come to do the report, like, the whole thing.
Right.
Come get him. So they did. But, you know, it's still a little stressful.
Do we dare ask fault as on the other person?
Oh, no, it's mine.
Oh, you.
No.
Okay.
All right. Oh, yeah. No. I was making a left turn, and the only oncoming car, because it was a Sunday afternoon, so there's, like, one car coming at me, and he hits his blinker, so I think, oh, he's going to turn right onto the same road that I'm turning left onto. So if you can imagine, I'm going this way, he's going this way, and I'm thinking we're both going to go,
yeah.
And he was not.
He just was changing lanes?
He just was changing lanes and was going to go to the Circle K behind me.
Yeah. And that's why you don't change lanes in an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even approaching one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's why we pay for insurance. Like, shit just happens.
Right.
Yeah.
And
now you'll pay slightly more for insurance.
Right, and now I might pay slightly more for insurance, and then I realize that my deductible's higher than I thought it was, and I went, whose idea was that?
My deductible's higher than I thought. Yeah, it happens.
Aren't they always, though?
Yeah, because you think about it, and then you get home, and you're like, oh, crap, that's going to be $500, and then you realize, no.
Yeah, it's 1,000.
No, cheaped out. Yeah, we cheaped out on the insurance this time. So when it's up for renewal, we're going to bring that back down.
Oh, yeah. Let's pick a number we're all comfortable with having in our pockets. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Indeedy-doo. But everything else...
Yeah. But everything else is good. You know, my kids are kind of losing their mind, partly because of spring fever, and partly their dad just had a new baby about a month ago. So there's some... like emotional shenanigans happening there, sure. I think. And
Because of course they think he loves the new baby more.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's already started. Like, that baby's not even a month old. And my kid came home after he had been at the book fair with his father and his stepmother. And he came home and he said, do you know that Jenny bought the baby like 10 books and she only bought me two? And I'm like, here's the breaks, friend. You're going to, you know what I mean? Like, I hate to tell, I don't know how to tell him, but he's just going to have to watch his dad and his stepmom like shower shit all over this kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's never going to get.
Yeah. Huh.
Those are the breaks, kid. I mean, that's just what
right.
happens.
That's how it goes. And that sucks.
Precious baby syndrome. Yeah.
No. And I don't know why, because I'm not especially, like, emotionally available or even stable, but for some reason, like...
okay.
For some reason, being around is kind of comforting to the kid, so it was kind of nice to be around for a couple of extra days that I'm not ordinarily there, and just kind of, like, settle the family back down and get through some big projects, so, yeah.
Gotcha. Now, the other revelation that you just shared with me before we went on the air was that you have figured out... You can't get anything done at home in a quiet house where you'd think you would be able to concentrate and do things. You have to go elsewhere to a bar.
That's pretty hilarious. Because I had, you know, it was book fair week at my kid's school, so that was a big thing going on last week. And so now I'm in a position where I have my second day job, but that's kind of winding down, so I don't have a whole lot going on with that. So
book fair season's over.
Yeah, I'm on the downhill slide to a really, like, slackerly summer where I work my 3 days a week at the bar and I come to the show on a Tuesday and I have nothing else to do all the time.
Okay.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, it's God intended.
That's the way you should live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was off all day today, and I went to a PTO meeting at the school, which was fun and fine. And then I screwed around and went to lunch with somebody for like 2 or 3 hours, you know, had lunch with a friend. And then I went home and I was like, okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to go to the show like prepared. I'm going to have all kinds of shit and I'm going to have red stuff. And then, you know, I get home maybe about noon, like 3 or 4 hours roll by and I'm like, I haven't done shit but watch reruns of an old show. Nothing. So I finally decided I had to get up out of the house. So I went to a bar,
okay,
ordered a pitcher of beer, connected to their Wi-Fi, sat here, boom, 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 like read all kinds of crap, have even some articles for headlines.
No, my God.
I know. Wow. Very productive. Apparently my quiet house is only for napping and Netflix.
And family time.
And family time.
That's sure. About it.
Oh, yeah. In which I nap and watch Netflix. Let's be real. Oh.
Okay. Gotcha.
And occasionally I make macaroni and cheese on the stove. Like, very domestic.
I would say very domestic woman. My God. A strong, proud family woman you
but
are.
But yeah, so I wish I had a lot of adventures to report, but just...
Well, the best part is...
Surviving the life.
Because we hadn't talked to you and you would message us. I'm glad to know that nobody was harmed in the wreck. Everything's fine.
Oh, no.
You're going to get the family truckster back and she'll be in good shape.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be done... I think it was supposed to be done yesterday. And the guy who keeps calling me from the garage is killing me.
Okay.
Because he called me for the first time on Friday. And I like answer my phone because I'm kind of expecting the garage to call.
Sure.
So I'm answering numbers that I don't know, which I'm not very comfortable with all the time.
I get you.
But anyway. Because
it might be somebody polling you about Bernie Sanders.
Right. And I don't know what to say because I haven't seen any news. So I answer the phone and I say, hello. He says, hey, is this Kat? You know, it's Eric from Service King. And I say, oh, hey, Eric, how's it going? And every time I've talked to him so far, he says, well, not good.
No.
Wah, wah.
And so the first time I talked to him, I said, well, gosh, Eric, I'm so sorry to hear that. What can I do for you? Like, how can I make your day better? And apparently he's having trouble with the parts, the replacement parts going back on because I had to have like a whole new front end rebuilt and like a whole new bumper and a whole new quarter panel. And apparently he doesn't like how the bumper is.
Okay.
So then he called me yesterday.
But he's the service king.
Right. He's the service king. I know.
Literally the king of service, yeah. Apparently.
So then he calls me yesterday. He says, hey, you know, is this Kat? Yep, it's Kat. Hey, it's Eric from Service King. Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
I shit you not.
That's fantastic.
So Friday, he thought he was going to have it done, didn't have it done. Monday, he thought he had it all back together, but he doesn't like how it's going. He doesn't like how it looks on the one side. All right, fine. I don't give a shit. Like, fix it.
Oh,
these are parts
dumb.
that are for your van, right?
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Like these aren't 72
Did you order
Pinto
the right parts.
Parts.
Well, and today he offered to let me come over and look at it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
how kind.
You know, because he's still not happy with how the bumper's fitting, so he's ordered other like underneath parts.
Okay.
I haven't worked on a car in so many years. I wasn't even listening when he told me what strut or what. I don't care.
Right.
Well, that's why I'm paying insurance.
It's like when the pilot tells you how high we're flying. Why do I give a shit?
Right. I'm not going to measure it. I can only believe you.
And we're clearing everything.
Give or take 5 or 6 feet, I think.
That doesn't look like 30,000. That looks like 25. I would like you to remeasure, sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So I'm barely listening to him. But now he's ordered some additional parts, and he's going to replace those because he still doesn't like how my bumper's fitting. But he's just killing me because every time he calls, I say, hey, you know, Eric, how's it going? Not good.
Is there a sigh or anything?
It's kind like, of. No, he sounds super sad about it.
Not good.
I'm very worried. And so now he's like, now he's second guessing his judgment. And he says, well, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't like how it's going together. You're welcome to come by and look at it if you want. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to come tell you it's okay. Like, make it okay.
Yeah. It needs to be okay under your jurisdiction.
You're the service king.
Right.
Right.
You're the service king. I don't want this shit to fall off 10,000 miles from now.
Now, I'll share a story with you with the same.
And I'm in Scottsdale. I can't be driving a raggedy van.
Oh, God, no. No, we can't have that.
Boozy moms will excommunicate me in a minute.
Back years ago, I forget how long ago this was, my little white truck that I still have was parked on a street, oddly, Turney, which is right by where Stacy's is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Foster's at the time.
I was going to say, parked next to Foster's.
It was parked at a house I lived in on Turney at the time. And it was parked on the street and overnight. And I'm pretty sure, though we never heard it, we woke up to my front end being bashed in on the truck. So I'm pretty sure somebody made their way from the bar down the street and just didn't quite clear it. So called insurance. Obviously, the whole thing happened. Well, it was an insurance company that I will never go back to.
Oh, sad.
Though I do love their little gecko. mascot.
I wonder who it is.
I don't know.
But was it Jake from State Farm?
No. No. I do enjoy Jake from State Farm.
What are you wearing?
So
a polo shirt and khakis.
So with being that company, of course, what they try to do is they order all of these aftermarket parts that aren't made by General Motors.
Oh, yeah.
So fender, the front fender wouldn't fit. The hood didn't fit. The bumper wasn't right. Like, they went mm-hmm. through this, and I refused it every single time. And I'm like, if you people would just buy the right parts in the beginning, don't
it's
try
gonna
to
work out just fine, right?
Right. If you buy everything that's made for this truck, not from, like, Bob, who makes stuff out of the back of a sheet
Stop
metal shop.
Stop buying AutoZone parts. They're right. not actual.
It doesn't work no. the same. So they had to go through it, like, I think 3 or 4 times. They had to rebuild and replace parts before I finally was like, that's a General Motors part. I can see it. Like, I can tell that. And even, I think I even demanded invoices back in the day.
Do you want to go look at my nails?
I don't.
All right.
Because I don't want any
liability. She sounds hideous.
Yeah.
I don't want any liability coming my way. But I don't know if that's what he's going through or if they're actually ordering Chrysler parts.
You know, and I don't know. I would assume, because Service King is a chain. Mm-hmm. Like, they're hooked up with the insurance company kind of
sure.
a chain. I would assume they're buying probably parts from Mexico. I don't really
or know. I have no idea, but I'm just no like, if that's why it's not fitting well, I'm wondering if that may be why it's just not the it's not made the exact no. as it's supposed to be. But anyway, that was a frustration for me. And actually, to this day, and I've been looking actually on eBay to buy the new ones. The turn signal lenses in the front bumper, mm-hmm. one is brighter than the other because oh. one of them doesn't have the reflective background in it.
Sure.
It's driven me nuts for 15 years.
Well, clearly you've worked on it in a timely fashion.
Well, I just haven't committed to buy it yet on eBay. When I buy those,
it's bothered me for 15 years.
Well, I don't.
Wasn't a priority.
I only really think of it when I'm like if I'm outside my truck with the
it's
lights
always,
on.
Always like number 4 on the list.
Yeah, so I don't think of it very often. But anyhow, there's that.
Hopefully, my troubles will resolve themselves in a day or two.
Oh, I would hope so. And then maybe when he calls you, hey, how's it going? He'd be like, oh, it's going great.
Going great. That's what I'm hoping.
That'd be fun.
I'm hoping.
You'll know it's a turnaround time.
I'm very concerned for his little Charlie Brown face right now.
I wonder if a little cloud just follows him around over his head. You know, storm cloud.
I know.
Al doesn't have to worry about cars being rebuilt because they just total them out whenever he gets into a wreck. They just total it and they leave it there. And
I offer to bribe people, please total this car. Please.
It's nice.
Please. Yeah.
And then they just send him his button, like, ask me things about share.
I feel like I owe too much to total mine out. I feel like that wouldn't actually work for me right now.
But you said it wasn't that bad.
Do you get gap insurance?
No.
Get gap insurance.
I know. I know better, but I'm poor.
But you'll have a sparkly,
shiny
ring.
Hence my $1,000 deductible.
Yeah. Actually, on some, depending on how or who you're financed with, they won't even permit that. Like, they get your insurance information, they know, and they won't permit you to have anything higher than a $500 deductible.
Well, whoever's holding my loan is an asshole, and they let me do it.
Okay. Oh, it's their fault. Okay.
So it's their fault, then.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to have the car, you know, held up in a pawn shop, basically, because you can't afford the full $1,000 deductible. They're like, well, $500, you're probably better off there.
Oh, I've never had.
Wait, why are we pawning my car? Wait,
no.
I have the money. It's okay.
No.
I was planning to do other things with it.
Service King, listen to us from wherever you are.
Please do not pawn.
No, but I believe that's what their assumption is. If your deductible is that high, they're like, oh, no, because you may not have the money to pay for this shit.
Oh, because then it's going to create financial hardship, and then I'm going to default on the loan. Or, and
yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so that's, I think, why they have to. If anybody's in the chat room that's in the insurance business and would like to chime in, we might even read what you type.
I oddly was in the insurance business, and You're probably right.
Mostly.
I was in property claims and not, you know, auto underwriting. But tomato, tomato.
Oh, it's all right. It's
potato, potato.
It's still
lesbian nun. Same fucking thing.
Oh, my heavens.
It's just women in comfortable shoes.
We're going to put a pin in that for later.
We'll circle back.
Maybe. Well, oh, no. Marnie did, by the way, leave her in charge of the beaver for this night show.
I'm not touching it. No, not going to do it.
I got the beaver.
I got the fever for the flavor. Will it sit on the mic? Will it sit there? Will it sit on her mic thing right there? Well, I don't know if it'll sit there. Oh, look. Let's see.
Ooh, can we see it?
Her beaver.
I'm balancing the beaver.
Oh, my God.
With one hand. I got that beaver off on one hand.
Oh, he's on there pretty steady, too. Look at him go.
Did you read what Marnie put in the chat room? No one is working on your car, Kat. At the end of the day, the guy is like, son of a bitch, I forgot that young man's car again.
That's probably what happened. And they're thinking, why is a 17-year-old boy driving a minivan?
Exactly.
Oh, God. His parents must hate him.
I hope his little brother's okay.
Right? Well, when I dropped it off, they gave me a hell of a look because Sharon's first on our insurance policy for whatever reason right now. And so they're like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. What's your name? And, you know, I had called and made all the arrangements, and they're looking for me. Nope. Well, is it under Sharon? Oh, there it is. They found it right away. And then, seriously, like I was a criminal. Who are you?
Well, who's Sharon?
Bitch, I'm the other person on the policy. You don't have to know who it is. My name's on there. Fix my fucking car.
Now, does it say Catherine?
It does.
Okay.
I have ID to match.
Oh, good.
Not sure.
Well, good, because if you have to use your restroom or get your car out of Hawk, you have to show ID.
Listen, are we starting on that already?
Well, we're going to get there because I have a story.
Oh, good.
Eventually. And Alfie?
What have you been doing? Hi.
Working?
Coma. Drinking.
Vodka induced?
Insomnia.
Oh, good. Are you back on the vodka? Is that what's happening?
Oh, no. Well, we tried it again, and boy, that's ugly. That's two times in a month that we've tried that.
It's led to no good.
Yeah. Lesson learned. I got to go back to the wine bars.
Maybe try gin.
Oh,
God. My heavens.
I have to leave.
You're turning the same color as your shawl. No,
that's the safe word.
We tried the Ken Clayton show. You have to stay.
Yeah.
Well, we reached out to him a few times.
It was fun for a minute.
Before his phone died. And then
I used all my batteries.
He was angry standing in line trying to vote.
Oh, terrible, sweet Jesus. Terrible. Yeah. It was just a tasky, busy week at work, and then I just had senioritis. By the end of my shift, Saturday night, Sunday morning, I was just like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And we just kept getting busier and busier.
Oh.
And I didn't get out of there till late, and then I went home and watched the Nerd Prom, which we'll talk about later, and watched, fast-forwarded through most of that, saw it, had my reaction.
Good.
Went to bed, and my alarm was still set for like 5:30 in the afternoon, and I was like, oh, you motherfucker. So I got up, I went to the couch, I made it into my kitchen, but only as far as like the refrigerator sink area. Mm-hmm. Like I did not turn on face the stove at any point and just kept sleeping. I would be awake for like 20 minutes to 40 minutes, like one sitcom, possibly an episode of an hour long television show, but mostly slept through them. And at the end, I was like, do I erase that or do I need to get the gist? I'm like, I'm going to call it. I got the gist of that.
Does your DVR autoplay or does it stop after every episode is over?
It stops after every episode.
I got to figure out how to turn that on because every time I get into like a coma day, I will start something, especially on Hulu. Hulu's the worst because it'll jump from show to show and try and show me all of the new episodes of all the things that I want to see.
Yeah, on my iPad, my iPad does that with Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix will do that. Netflix just automatically rolls to the next show. And Hulu, too. So I will, you know, I'll start out watching maybe Blackish because, you know, nice and fun and light.
Jesus.
And I'll wake up and I'm smack in the middle of Scandal and I have no idea what's going on. Or how long I've been asleep or how many shows have played in the interim from the time that I started watching Blackish till I got to the middle of Scandal.
You last watched this? No, I didn't.
I never watched Grey's Anatomy from last week. Like, how did this happen?
I've found that if I sleep through shows like that, if they keep playing and I go back to rewatch them, I'm like, God, it feels like I've watched this before. Because like, I guess in your subconscious, maybe you hear the show.
Yeah, you hear something.
Which is why I used to nap to Law & Order SVU, because you really just have seen that show over and over again. That used to be my go-to nap show.
Like, what? Why?
Right.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
It's my go-to nap show for a really long time.
Well, I found my new nap show is...
this show.
Well...
I've heard you fall asleep to this before, sometimes during it.
But I found a new podcast to sleep to.
Oh.
538. Was that the Nate Silverman show? Yeah, Nate Silver's podcast. Sometimes he's on it, sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
It's political. Turns out he's a poker player. Did you know that part? He's a professional poker player.
I feel like I did know that part.
And an odds nerd.
Right.
Plays the
odds.
He
started out with like as a baseball statistics nerd.
Yeah, and like channeled
into... And then kind of realized that he could branch that out into gambling and
politics. Political polling. Yeah. So it's a fascinating show. It's political. They seem to be slightly left-leaning, but I think anybody now seems slightly left-leaning. If leaning to the right means you have to talk about Trump or Cruz. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of self-preservation at this point of like, oh, I don't want to go on that shit show. Let's talk
Save
over
yourself.
Here.
Save yourself.
So, that was pretty good. And then we did the we call it the patient reunion at work. and they bring in, because it's Nurses Week this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the people that almost died and now are alive.
Florence Nightingale's birthday was sometime this week. And so they celebrate Nurses Week for that.
Was it that again? I feel like that was a long time ago, but maybe it happens was a year.
Every year.
Yeah, every year around the same time. So it was, it's just a very rewarding. They do a dinner.
It's on a 12-month cycle.
Some call it a calendar.
Seems really long.
We'll pin that for later, too.
I have to get back to this calendar idea. But that was really nice. You end up kind of crying through the whole thing, whether you want to or not, and... The families are so nice and grateful, and the patients are just like deer in the headlights because they really don't remember much of what happened.
Right. They're the ones who really don't remember you.
Yeah.
The family does.
And, you know, they're all traumatized by it all.
Are there some that when you see them, are there some you're like, wow, they really bounce back? Like, they're really on it and they're good?
Yeah. I mean, the three of the four yesterday, I would have never guessed had been like gravely ill in the last 6 months.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Bully for you.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just a nice thing. And then last night I drank a lot of vodka, and so I couldn't sleep. So I watched a couple more episodes of Kimmy Schmidt, and there was one that I watched that I literally fell over. Now, granted, I was buzzed.
Hashtag drunk.
Fell over on the couch. I had to watch the opening of it, like, and it was just the opening clip where Kimmy tries to tell them that she's going to therapy. And they decided to do it with charades.
Oh, my God.
So Kimmy with Titus and Julian, whatever her name is, playing charades. And she's going like this. Titus talks to Titus. Pac-Man eats something. Two turtle doves.
Sold.
But you don't see them. All you see is her going like this. You just hear their guests on camera. Titus all of a sudden beautifully singing, two turtle doves.
You know, the first season of that show was such a delight. And if Tina Fey writes something, I'm sold.
And she's so good. She shows up about episode six.
Does she again? Same character or a new character?
Oh, completely new character.
Yes!
The day-night therapist.
Oh, my God.
let's just find out where... And they're all very funny, but like every show... They finally get all the pieces together and hit their stride.
That's good.
I
can't wait. As soon as I'm done watching a show that's been canceled for 4 years, I'm in. I'm not kidding.
Wow. No. Oh, that's funny.
I'm watching Happy Endings that was canceled, I believe, in 2011.
Oh.
No.
Haven't heard of it.
I'm on the third season.
I'm still trying to get through all episodes of 30-something.
Kimmy,
ambitious, my friend. Ambitious.
I don't like to rush.
Kimmy walks into a bar. Kimmy goes to a hotel. Kimmy meets a drunk lady, and those three. But I think it was, I can't remember if it was Kimmy drives the car, or Kimmy kidnaps. But there's one of them that I had to watch it like three times.
I've found my mission for next Monday.
Oh, yeah.
There, now I know.
There is an episode. I know I got to think of how it goes, but there is an episode in there that just... Oh.
God.
Get yourself together.
Titus develops a one-man show about his past life as a geisha.
Is he clear on what a geisha is?
He dresses up as an Asian, and he gets protesters. But it's who I as was were. And his argument as to why it's okay for him to play Asian.
Was there a theme song?
Yes, and it's got a song, and it's just, it's fucking wrong.
As long as there's a song.
It's just fucking wrong.
Oh.
So that was my insight. So at least my insomnia had Kimmy on its side.
That's
because
good.
That's my happy place.
Upsides.
Unbreakable, right?
Yeah.
No,
Unbreakable.
What is it on?
They're alive, damn it.
Females are as strong as hell. Unbreakable.
What is this on?
Damn it.
What,
Netflix.
Oh, I don't have that.
You can have my password.
I should just get my own. I should do it.
You should. It's like $8.
Okay.
That's true. Well, 12 because I had to pay for the extra screens, but yeah.
Extra screens?
Well, it turns out Netflix limits you to how many devices you can be playing from the same account at the same time.
Oh. Yeah. So if all of your friends you've handed out that password to watch.
No, only my household.
Oh, only in the house. Yeah.
So if two children are watching Netflix and then I try to go watch Netflix all at the same time, all from different devices, you have to pay extra for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't have that much of an issue. I've got mine. Well. I mean, I'm the only one who'd be watching here.
Yeah, and then your mom can watch too.
Yeah, I would. I would do exactly.
Yeah, that'd be a perfect thing.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
And what did you do?
It's. Oh, I found out one thing today. You know that TV of yours that I'm trying to get rid of?
Uh-huh.
I was going to give up and be like, fuck it, I'm just going to donate the motherfucker. Because my whole thing is about it doesn't need to go in a landfill. It needs to be recycled because that's what you do. But with that tube, the old school televisions. Certain places won't take them, like the electronics place that I take all the circuit boards to and all that other stuff. They won't take it. So I thought, well, somebody said, well, just take it to Goodwill and let them have it, and you know, it'll go into the world and live a new life.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, no, I don't really like the idea of that, because I figure it's just going to wind up in a dumpster, just exactly what I don't want to have happen at some point. Well, I finally gave in. I'm like, fuck it. I had some other things to take to Goodwill, so I'm like, I'll just drive over, drop it off. And I pull up and they've got a sign that says, as of May 1st, 2016, we no longer take CRT televisions.
Son of a bitch.
So I took everything else out of my truck and gave it to him. And he's like, have a good day. I'm like, bye. So it's in the back of my truck again. So now I think what I have to do now is I just have to disassemble.
Salvation Army.
No, disassemble it. I'll just disassemble it.
Maybe you have till June 1st at the Salvation Army.
It's good to know.
Don't know. So anyway, that was one thing I couldn't get rid of. My friend Daniel Bootsy moved into. In fact, I showed you the picture yesterday of the view from his new apartment. He moved in over there, and I keep inheriting stuff from him because he keeps purging.
Died? Oh,
yeah.
He keeps purging things. I say inherited.
I know.
He loves it because he's like
long time listener.
Yeah. So I keep inheriting things from him because he keeps purging stuff out. He's like, I don't need this, I don't need that, I don't need this. Well, I have a whole huge another box of CDs that I have to go through to figure out if I'm missing things from my library. So he moved. That was kind of cool. Other than that, it's just been, you know, Drag Race on Mondays, and then I work on Wednesdays at the bar, and there was something else I was going to mention. I have forgotten what it was.
Was it a vacuum?
No, wildly it was not. There's been really minimal vacuum interaction.
Was it a lawnmower?
Mm-mm.
Was it yard work of any
Well,
kind?
No, if you want to go lawnmower, I could share that I bought a new blade for mom's lawnmower at her house and I installed it.
Oh, but she's thrilled.
Oh, well, it mows her yard. She's fucking happy as hell.
Does it make her mowing that much easier?
She doesn't mow. I go. Oh. I do it.
So she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
No, other than the fact that there's a working lawnmower at mom's house so I can go up and mow her yard. And granted, her...
Like you wouldn't bring your own if there wasn't one.
Right, but I just got tired of carrying all my stuff up there.
Lifting.
Moving it. So I inherited a lawnmower.
From a dead guy.
From a guy. No, from people used to live across the street. They left. They're like, hey, it doesn't work. You can have it.
I bequeath this to you,
they said. Right. So I spent, I think, $10 and I bought a part from Sears.com and fixed it and boom, we're good to go.
Magic.
So that's what we're using up in her place. She's been working on getting her pool ready.
Oh, it's almost time.
She's getting there. She said she talked to her today and she said she wasn't as excited and as concerned about getting it ready to swim in yet because it's not warm enough. Because
it's not hot enough.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm having the same problem.
Yeah. But she says once it gets to a certain time, it's going to be, that's a priority. Get that done.
Yeah.
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 It is crazy how nice it has been.
It's insane.
Freaking me out. Because, yeah, beautiful. I'm usually already grumpy and dying and in the pool every day by now. And my pool
and
is
here we
freezing.
Are, pleasant 83.
Yeah.
84 yeah. yesterday.
And the pools are so cold. I put my feet in mine the other day and I was like, that's not okay. No more than toes.
So according to our weather, tomorrow it's going to make a big jump in temperature. For those of you that don't live in the Phoenix area, it's going to be like it was 90-something today.
99 is what I heard.
102 tomorrow.
Zoot alor.
That's what they're saying.
And then
we dip back down, and then we go like by the weekend, the high on Saturday is 73. So it's just like, don't forget I'm here.
That's fucked
Hot
up.
Hot temperature, and then we go back. So we'll see. But by next Thursday, it's back up to 102, according to what it says currently. So interesting. The weather is just... But it's been nice. But we're going to pay for it, because it's eventually just going to get hot as fuck, like it always does in Phoenix.
It always does. You know, I don't know if it's paying for it. It's just delaying the inevitable.
Right.
Right.
But I'm always concerned that if it delays on the front end, is it going to tag on at the back end? But usually it never does.
It'd be 107 on Thanksgiving.
It's kind of like being late for your curfew. Like, once you're already late,
yeah.
You might as well stay out.
Right. Just... Do it all.
You're going to be punished either way, so just enjoy it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. Oh, well, we've managed to bullshit our way through 39 minutes of this show so far. I think we've done it. I think
great show, everybody.
Thank you.
It's been work.
It's been good. I'd like to thank you all for listening. And
meeting adjourned.
Out. We're good.
Oh.
Oh, heavens. We're going to do this.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure,
I feel like he made that into a dad joke now. I feel like the mic drop is over.
Oh, because he did it and it's now done.
Hashtag thanks Obama.
Oh. we're gonna have a long chat about the nerd prom.
I feel like it's now just a dad joke, and the next person that drops a mic, I'm just gonna roll my eyes and walk away from them.
Oh.
No. But at least he did it literally.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm probably the only one who stood there and thought, oh, I wonder if he broke the mic.
No, I did too.
It's a you don't drop those mics. Like, you literally don't, because it can fuck
but
him up.
But it looked like he picked up a different mic. And
oh, yeah. It wasn't the one he was talking about.
Oh, no,
he
picked
one up off the podium.
But still, I was like, maybe they gave him a dummy mic. Who knows? I mean, it's Obama, for God's sakes. We got a budget. We could buy another mic.
I'm pretty sure they could.
I'm sure they could.
No, did you watch any of the We Got Him documentary or special on Laden?
I caught a couple minutes of it, and then I realized I needed to watch the whole thing from beginning to end. I didn't want to jump in the middle.
Very, very interesting.
Again, here's my rock.
Yeah. And I'm sure they will play it sometime, but it's an interview with all the players in the kill of Obama and
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden. Do that once. And they go through, and there's a scene in Zero Dark Thirty, but I think they make this character a woman, but they're like trying to ID bin Laden's body, and they had to have a soldier, like, they're like, how tall are you? And the soldier says 6'2", and he's like, lay down next to him. Just to get like an accurate height measurement. And Obama said to him, okay, $6 million or whatever it is, $600 million for a helicopter, and we can't afford a tape measure. So when he got his award for like duty, it has a tape measure on it.
Oh.
In case he ever has to do anything again, he'll have the tape measure.
I like
it. Oh, that's funny.
But it was like a really late moment. And he was saying like it was so tense. They were so like pent up that when he said that over the phone about the tape measure, just kind of like broke the silence on the, it was the tension breaker for the whole thing.
Oh, I had not heard that, but that's funny. Oh, heavens. All right, let's do a little dancey breaky, and we'll come back and we'll do some headlines and get through the rest of the show. It's Q Talk America. I love how no matter what I fucking do today, everything has gone to shit on. So I'm going to start over. I'm going to build the break again.
You're doing a great job.
Well, I'm keeping the no technicals.
That's good.
We're keeping that. Okay, so that I have to have that there. Then I do this. And I do dance break here. I have to build all this shit every fucking time I do it.
Carry the one.
Play this. Do this now.
Divide by 7.
Yes. Now
just
we'll try
jump to the left
and see if it sounds like this.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Now we play the headline music. That's how it goes. Hi, everybody. It's our headline segment on this Tuesday night, the 3rd of May, 2016. Show number 260. It's about to become 1950 in Kentucky.
Put your selfie stick away.
She's Harvard bound.
You are not Tom Cruise.
Fear the park rangers.
Indonesian angels.
People in glass houses really shouldn't throw stones.
Carpageddon.
And Jesus arrested an Apple store. These and I'm sure other things we're going to talk about in headlines right here on Q Talk America.
Good thing I went to the bar today.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you should say every day?
I feel like I'm going to from now on. I'm going to find a reason.
Time well spent.
Good thing I went to the bar today.
Oh, and I forgot. I have pictures to go along with the story. I like when I can bring a picture into the story and share it with you all, because that's what I'm here about.
Me too.
I don't have that story. Or that... You're a dumbass. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to say that we talked about this before, or maybe it was another state. But despite being legal in the United States since 1967, Kentucky Republicans are trying to turn back the clock on interracial marriage by allowing discrimination against interracial couples. A bill moving forward in the Kentucky Senate would give private businesses and public institutions the right to discriminate against basically anyone they want to, as long as they hide behind their trusty Bibles. Uh-huh. In other words, interracial couples, Muslims, atheists, gay people can all be denied services by businesses and the government for religious reasons, even though federal law explicitly forbids discrimination. Now, while the bill does not expressly mention these groups, it is so broad that it might as well just include everybody. The other interesting thing is the bill denies whoever are discriminated against the ability to sue in court over the discrimination. It's sort of like the law here where you can't talk about plastic bags anymore. So we're going to make a law about you can't talk about what we're going to make a law about.
Like Fight Club, but not fun.
Right. So without that ability to sue in court, it makes it even more clear that Republicans want to turn Kentucky into a to a civil justice and civil rights only being conservative to Christians. They only want to make it viable to Christians. But I have a picture of what they're going to make Kentucky look like again. So I thought,
Cuba.
Kind of, right? Not as many hills and trees, but I thought they're going to make it look just like that again. 1950s, old cars. You pointed at me like you had a comment.
Well, because I was going to say, for private businesses, I can kind of see the point. Okay, decide to serve the people whoever you decide, but you cannot exempt the government from serving everyone. Like, that's not the point.
Yeah, and none of these things will hold up in a Supreme Court case.
When somebody gets the money and gets the wherewithal to take it to the Supreme Court, they won't stand up. But until then,
we just got to waste everybody's time and go through all that.
Yeah,
but I would think that because we've done this already multiple times, they never win that. So why don't they just?
People are back in court, right?
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah. They're fighting. Let me see if I can find it. They're fighting.
Is it a frosting battle?
No. The Oregon cake people who were kind of taken to task by the non-discrimination department, as it were, in Oregon. Like, that wasn't the people that they discriminated against didn't sue them. The state said, no, you people fucked this up. Here's your fine. And they're just back. I just read an article about them. Let me see if I can find it.
Possibly at the bar you read an article about them.
No, I feel like it was. Maybe. You know,
who knows?
Pitchers were $6. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. And how many did you share with other people?
Clearly.
Because you said that you, was it a meeting of the minds? Was it a boozy mom's soccer mom?
No, it was like
mom?
My mind and my.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were there with the gathering of the girls.
Solo, looking at the internet, drinking beer.
I don't see a recent update to that
story. I just read it the other day.
Today I'm looking. I'm playing the Katie June role.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Well, carry on.
Well,
is it my turn? I have to read some crap,
Do you want to? I can go on.
I can.
All right.
All right. Stupid is as stupid does, my friends. Disney theme parks announced a ban on selfie sticks last summer in the interest of safety, because obviously taking a metal stick on a fast-moving ride is probably not a good idea.
No kidding.
But apparently that's not obvious to everyone, which is how one rider shut down the roller coaster at Disney's California Adventure on Monday. Stopped the coaster dead in its tracks because a cast member saw the selfie stick.
Oh, wow.
Said, nope, shut it down, stopped the train on the tracks, went through all their safety protocol, brought everybody back down.
Wow.
Yep, California Screamin' Roller Coaster, they evacuated all the riders after they saw a rider trying to use a selfie stick. The Disney spokeswoman, Melissa Britt, told local affiliates that the incident happened around 5:30 p.m. The ride was soon back up and running, but the offending people were escorted from the park.
Wow.
So you gotta wonder, like, did they have to, like, come down the ladders and stuff? Because you ever see that when you're on a roller coaster? And all of a sudden you pass the ladder, like, in case it gets stuck, and you're like, oh, God.
Oh, don't want to do that. And then I saw Final Destination, and that was worse. I'd rather go down the ladder than do that.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, but no, this was all over social media over the last day or two, because they shut down the ride. They evacuated the ride as though it were an emergency.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
And then the
it's better than a stick in the eye.
There was the kid on the young kid on the roller coaster with his father, and the kid's seatbelt was undone.
Oh, I saw. I didn't read it, but I saw like. Oh,
so the video plays, and you're like, "Oh my god, how upsetting!" No, the upsetting part is that Dad didn't turn his fucking phone off. So Dad's like holding on to his kid, but keeps filming. But
keeps for filming. That's bullshit. Yeah, so the whole thing is put on film. Dumbass. Yeah, like
let the phone go. Save your child.
No. Right.
Oh yeah, you gotta. Because I don't know if anybody else noticed that while watching it. Of like,
I didn't see that.
Why
one.
Are we still recording this?
Yeah,
and it's a long time. And I think it was a kiddie roller coaster, but it was a young kid.
But still, yeah, you like strap your kid in if you want them to like remain in there
or hold him with in both arms because the kid's clearly terrified. Oh. Bad parenting. I judge it.
It's everywhere.
Clearly, that was not me. Only quality parenting happening over here. No.
I laugh with love.
Sure.
I know that you all have heard of this story, but we're gonna share it. For those of you who may not be in the know, on Sunday, Fox News reported that President Obama's daughter, Malia, had elected to attend Harvard University after taking a year off from school. It seemed an innocuous enough story, but readers of Fox News proved nothing is off limits when attacking a black president, his wife, and his children. None of these people commenting seemed to consider that a black child who fluently speaks a foreign language may just be intelligent enough to qualify for admission to a prestigious university all on her own. Yeah. Also, none of them note that white students who are considered part of the legacy because of their family members attend an Ivy League school are more likely to be accepted than first-generation students, regardless of grades, test scores, and it's been that way for years. The racist commenting that Malia's acceptance into Harvard had to be based on her race also failed to consider that her mother holds two Ivy League degrees from Harvard and from Princeton. Perhaps Malia inherited those brains from her mother. I don't know. They weren't going to consider that, though.
Her Harvard-educated father.
Yeah, right. These racists can't accept that Michelle Obama is a brilliant and accomplished woman all in her own right. They can't even accept that she's a woman, actually. Yeah. They don't even want to do that. Harvard is one university that does proportionately admit students of color. African Americans comprise 12.1% of the United States population and 11.6% of the Harvard University admissions. I didn't realize that, so that's pretty, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
Right for that. But anyway, I was going to screenshot some of these, and I don't know, look for the story online. If you read, because Fox literally had to jump in and shut down the comments on the story because it went completely nuts off the rails.
And fast, too. Like, it didn't even take, like, the second one.
The last line of the story is, shutting down the comments on this story doesn't erase the racism behind the comments. It still exists and has been fostered and encouraged by the likes of Fox News. Manufactured rage over the race card is part of Fox News' daily schedule. And it is. But I was like, when I read some of those tweets, and I was astounded that people are doing that.
And some of it was about her taking a gap year, which isn't as common in America as it is in Europe. Mm. But it's when you take that year off.
Right, between high school and college.
Yeah, many people do their summer abroad or do some kind of travel. And some people do like the Peace Corps or something like that.
Right.
They'll do community service for the year.
And for those of you who don't know, this is the daughter. This is Malia, the one that we're talking about in the story.
Who is just gorgeous.
Oh, they are. Mm-hmm.
But you know that dress got mocked, too, because it was too short and she's a whore. Like, when they went to, was it the turkey party, pardoning of the turkey?
Yeah.
They were standing off the side and they were just, disrespectful and apes because they rolled their eyes. They were at the pardoning of a turkey.
Right. The most ridiculous tradition of the White House.
Teenage girls that clearly had somewhere else
to be. Right.
Yeah. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I don't know what corner we turned that it's okay to like viciously attack someone's daughter. Someone's underage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just wait.
Just viciously attack someone's daughter.
If all the planets don't align and we get that fucktard in office and all of a sudden it's his daughter's, well, the minute anybody makes any fun of his wife or any of his kids, oh my God, it's how dare you?
Yeah.
You're going to hear every redneck come out of the fucking woodwork saying this.
He tweeted that Cruz's dad was somehow involved
with JFK.
Lee Harvey Oswald. And attacked his wife and all kinds
of stuff. You have, the lower part of scum is not Trump. It's the people that had the paid people on CNN who have to defend him. They're like, I just took that as a funny story. No, you didn't.
No.
Like, and just Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile was writing them notes about, like, how to get your self-respect back. And she literally handed her a Post-it. Because maybe this will help. And she handed,
oh my God.
She handed that blonde cunt a Post-it.
Well, the picture did surface, which I only have to believe it's true. Apparently, in Dallas, Cruz's dad was handing out flyers at one point on a street corner. There's a picture of the both of them. Something about Cuba, something about Castro back in the 60s. And there's a picture that surfaced that shows them together. And that's exactly why. Because he knew Oswald. Like, they had been in cahoots together with other things. So there's a chance that he was part of the... Oh, like, what a dumbass. Really?
But that's, I mean, he's just the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
But that really, and you, I just want to find every one of those people, just like they did with the reading the mean tweets to the sportscasters, mm-hmm. having a man do it. Just have one of those assholes sit in front of someone and say that stuff out loud. Like,
right.
Now do it without the anonymity of
right.
of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Just shitty humans.
Yeah.
And it really was. Like, that was one of those things that I read, like, the third comment, and yeah. I'm like, I just can't. Like.
And the worst part is most of those people, like, tweet all this horrible shit out and then go tuck their own daughters into bed.
Yeah, right.
Like,
and then go pray in
church. And don't see the same. You know, they don't identify.
That's a parent and the daughter.
This is someone's daughter, and she studied and got into Harvard, and absolutely, she got legacy benefits. Don't you wish your daughter, you know what I mean? And isn't your daughter going to Old Miss because you went there? Like,
right, yeah.
Well, that, and they're also pissed because, you know, Junior, he didn't apply himself and he couldn't get into school.
Because Junior's dumb. Admit it, Junior's an idiot.
That, or just in the, oh, we don't need no schooling. We got us a farm.
And where did they just travel to that Malia acted as the interpreter?
I don't know.
I would imagine it's the language that she speaks fluently, but I don't know what that language is.
No, but I just can't remember. I don't think it was the visit to Cuba, but in one of the...
I feel like I know so little about my adoptive family.
In one of the countries they just went to, she acted as the the interpreter for the family, and it was kind of impressive because she made the news cycle, which I guess gives people, you know, they think they have the right to criticize her then because now she's part of a story, but... Because that was part of it, too. Was that, you know, she was secretly a...
You know who wouldn't have put up with this? President
Mexican.
Bartlett.
Yeah. Secretly a Mexican.
Who knows? Who knows? Speaking of Ivy League education...
Cuba. It was the Cuba trip.
Well, look at you.
It was. Oh, there you go.
Malia works as translator for President Obama during Cuba trip. Says it right there.
She speaks Cuban.
Cuban.
It's good to know.
Cubano.
1950s cars. She knows all about them.
Oh, that's what it was. So she was a communist because she was speaking with the Cubans. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And possibly the third most common language in the world.
Yeah. And like the gap year was something about going to get a sex change. It was just those comments were so bad. So bad.
Well, speaking of Ivy League educations, one Yale graduate... has learned that being drunk is admissible in your court case when you're suing Amtrak. A Yale grad who was electrocuted after drunkenly climbing on top of an Amtrak train has dropped his lawsuit against the company this Monday after a Brooklyn judge said evidence of his boozing and recklessness could be admitted at trial.
Oh?
Brian Hopkins, an Ivy League educated architect from Astoria, Queens, was shocked by 27,000 volts and suffered burns to 85% of his body when he climbed atop a parked train in Boston.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. His left hand and leg were also amputated. He sued back in 2008. This is a long time lawsuit. Saying that the risk of electrocution was foreseeable and preventable. The case is slated to begin trial on Monday.
Wow.
I know. First of all, that's some lengthy litigation because I checked the date on this thing and it's
yeah, well, I mean, you said
legitimately yesterday's byline. So that's some long ass litigation.
What in and the fuck possesses you to climb on top of a fucking train?
Drunk.
Lick-a-hall.
No, okay,
lick-a-hall. What the hell is lick-a-hall?
Wow.
It's Marty Beaver's friend lick-a-hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm on slow mo, kids.
It's all right.
Alkaler.
Mr. Alkaler. Alkaler, Lickler. Yeah, you Licker, you brought her.
Oh, my God.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
Oh, my God. Oh.
okay. Your turn.
A coalition of lawmakers and civil rights groups has a message for the National Park Service. Your uniforms and vehicles are very threatening to Latinos, citing hats and vehicles that look like Border Patrol agents. The group is demanding changes. Now, I have just...
Wait, what state?
Coalition, just a coalition. This is the National Park Service.
Oh.
National. So let me show you.
So like these, Grand Canyon and shit.
These mm-hmm. are... These are our happy Yogi Bear friends. Uh-huh. These are the park
Smokey
rangers.
Smokey the Bear.
These are the park rangers. That's what they look like. Now, what they're saying is that this uniform that you see here looks too much like a Border Patrol agent here.
La Migra, La Migra.
It's the hat.
La Migra.
So what they're saying is that because they're so similar from Border Patrol agents to park rangers, that it's causing undue stress and thing for immigration.
I gotta say, that is a really scary hat.
Yeah.
No, I'm on board.
Yeah, because the IQ drops suddenly when you put that hat on, I feel like.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a man or a woman. It's an interesting name. His name, Mate, M-A-I-T-E, Arce, of the Hispanic Access Foundation, delivered the message during a press conference on Thursday. Quote, it's such a shame that something as simple as a uniform and its similarity to the Border Patrol's uniform in the coloring could be very threatening to certain segments of the Latino population. So a discussion about that is going to be a really tough one. The coalition is asking President Obama to issue an executive order directing the Department of Interior and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to adopt guiding priorities for a more inclusive approach to national parks. And I just think that's bullshit.
That's crazy.
I'm going to say that's a little far.
It's a lot of bullshit. Now, somebody, when I was reading through the messages on there, and it didn't go nuts. Well, there was a couple that were like, you know, the liberal, this whole 8 years, blah, blah, blah. But there was another one. Why, if you fear a uniform of a park ranger, you probably fear a lot of uniforms. Yeah. And you're probably yeah. fearful because you are always doing something you shouldn't be doing.
Well, and that's so funny because that actually came up recently at the bar. One of Phoenix's finest happened to walk in and needed my attention. It was a busy night. And you should have seen people like scattering and like, oh my God, the cops are here. And I'm like, what the fuck did you do? Like, right, are you on right. the lam?
Are there warrants?
He was here to tell me that there was a patient who had escaped the hospital that could be dangerous. And should I see him, I should call them immediately.
Oh.
Yeah, well, very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Gave me a description. I don't know if he was criminal or nuts, and I didn't ask. I took the description. I said, thank you very much. And then for an hour and a half, had to answer,
what was he
why
doing?
Were the cops what? Here? What's going on?
They're looking for you,
right?
Asshole.
Yeah.
You know what? They were asking for you, and I covered for you. Now where's my $20?
I want right. my $20.
But no, that's a good point. In some instances, now... Granted, the Latino population as a whole has a disproportionate amount of fear for no reason because they're targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Did I say that mm-hmm. in a way that was English?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounded like English to me.
You know, for instance, we had, you know, for a brief time, legislation, the Show Me Your Papers legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were brown in Phoenix, you could be pulled over and have to show a disproportionate amount of identification for no reason. So I think I can see both sides of that.
Well, and I was doing a lot of research while the two of you were talking.
Good job.
In a similar story that comes up more than you think it should.
Thank God you were here.
Feel free to, well, here, I'll send you a picture.
Well, that's nice.
You're going to send me a picture?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that'll be exciting. What am I going to show the picture? Is it a pterodactyl?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
You didn't know that's the sound the pterodactyl
Well, right. No, I didn't expect him to do it. That's what I didn't expect. Are you gonna, I hope you're going to message me.
I am, but you know what? I can't get into Facebook with it. I hate that.
Oh, God.
Okay. What's your story about?
So, anyways, the Massachusetts State Police
mm-hmm.
and the Nazis... have very similar uniforms.
Sure.
And it's remarked upon quite often.
You sent it to the wrong... Okay. I'll have to... Stand by. I'm going to fix what you did here.
Well, here, I'll send you two to fix.
Well, I need it to go through Facebook so I can get... That's how I need that link to
about Hotmail or Edge Studios?
No, just... Message me in Facebook and it comes right to this computer.
I know, but I don't know how to get to the Facebook.
This is good
radio. Copy and paste. Oh, dear
I hope
God.
Some of my friends tuned in.
Oh, you've done it twice now. So stamp. Oh God, damn it! Stop.
so that's similar. And I was expecting something a little bit more similar because if you see the two pictures that if we ever get the technology,
we have the technology. You just don't know where to send it.
We have the power.
Stand by. I'll get there.
Because my quick link doesn't do it. But they have gotten in trouble a lot, and I don't remember who copied from whom.
Because the Nazis copied from Massachusetts?
Yeah, because I think the Massachusetts state police has been around longer.
Oh, that's funny.
So I think the Nazis just kind of liked what they saw and were like, yeah, let's do that.
So then on principle, Massachusetts won't change because they did it first.
They did it first, right.
On principle. I like how you're doing that. Yeah.
I'm very solid in my principles.
So
it's good to know. All right, so now that I've sent both the links to myself.
It's very nice.
This is such a challenge I have to get to.
Christy, Jose, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is about average.
Hey, but there hasn't been a genuine technical difficulty yet.
Oh, yeah, there was. I botched the whole intro to headlines.
That's right.
Oh, I was taking a little awake nap.
Hashtag I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. I got one. This is stimulating radio.
Yeah,
carry really the is. Two.
Yeah.
So it's a line from The Departed. Where
I love The Departed.
Now I see where you're going with this, because now it's funny to me. So stand by. Let me get this.
So there's a line in The Departed where he says, like, you know, like a fucking stormtrooper. Because there's... And so it made me look it up. Like,
sure.
Do they look that much alike? And, like, what I found the other day was not nearly as close as these two are. Today's research was top drawer.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
No,
we've got a quote
excited.
From The Departed.
Okay, so this
top
is
top drawer
this,
research.
So there is your
right.
Massachusetts, right?
Massachusetts State Police.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now do not confuse them with the hang on this black and white picture that you.
I should hope so because it's from the 40s.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they had a whole lot.
They had color.
They had color, but not a lot. It was costly.
This one.
It's again. It's the hats that throw you, and the weird belts, and like.
Well, they've got that mid. No, they got that mid belt. You're right.
That's super above the belly button belt.
And like the jompers,
except for that one fat
pants.
Guy in front.
Yeah, poor thing.
Lift your belt.
Look at that tall motherfucker though, in that about three rows back. Jesus, he's tall.
That's a tall drink of water.
He's a tall drink of water.
So Colonel Klink is with us.
I know nothing. Thanks, Schulte.
So there you go. There's your similar stories. Story.
It took forever to get there, but we managed to get there.
Whew. Alcoholics.
I forgot where we started.
About the brown people being afraid of the police.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I totally missed our crossover break. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Popos.
Oh, you know what we should do, though? Oh, for God's sakes.
Drink your work. Can you do it?
Oh, I can manage to do that.
I dare you.
Well, there's not much daring going on. The only thing we're not going to do is I'm not going to play that fucking video over it.
And yet?
We're going to do this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I think we have to make the drinking word cream cheese. Our safe word from last night.
Cream cheese.
We had a
safe
Why
word.
Why are you screaming cream cheese? It's our safe word. No, it's not. The safe word is Philadelphia. Oh.
I do not recall this.
Oh my God. We were laughing so hard trying to pick safe words.
It was just you, me, and Carlton. There was no need.
No, and Alfonso and that Michael kid and Spider-Man pants. And like at the end, we were all like standing around talking.
Can we pin that and come back to it?
Cream cheese.
What's our safe word?
I don't want to remember this.
Oh, my
right.
God.
So I have a story.
Okay, go ahead.
Two arrested after dispute over crab legs turns violent. Police in Manchester, Connecticut arrested a husband and wife after an argument at Royal Buffet got out of hand on Saturday night. Manchester police say they were called to 410 West Middle Turnpike for a dispute that started as an argument over crab legs at the buffet table and escalated into a physical confrontation. During the scuffle, a 21-year-old man was punched in the face and lost a tooth, which is still in the buffet. That man's mother jumped in and used pepper spray on her son's attackers. Her actions were in self-defense, and she is not facing any charges, according to police. Police arrested Clifford Knight, 45, and Latoya Knight, 38, both of Windsor. Clifford Knight is charged with third-degree assault and disorder conduct. Latoya Knight is charged with disorderly conduct and threatening. Police said the suspects are husband and wife. The restaurant had to close while the health department assessed the air quality. For real.
What?
But the restaurant said they opened for business as usual the next day. Air quality.
Don't know.
The hell happened?
I wasn't listening to your whole story. I don't know.
It was a fight over crab's legs. And then there's that Hungarian.
I don't understand.
Speaking of air quality.
I had a red lobster for dinner last night.
Oh, I love red lobster. I love those cheesy biscuits.
I do too.
The forecaster on this Hungarian TV station has got like blustering winds, and you know how it's the face blowing the winds, the show's gonna be windy. And so he pretended to fart to make it look like that was coming out of him. He got fired. But it was really funny.
Oh, that is funny.
Oh my god.
So now he's on Facebook trying to get his job back, but
hashtag not gonna happen.
Just the fact that he squats down to fart on one of the clouds.
Wow. That's just
cream cheese! Just, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Why are we screaming cream cheese? I don't. That it's a funny story, and I really wish I could have been part of it. I mean, apparently I was, but I don't remember being part of it. Anywho, carry on, my wayward son.
Speaking of safe words,
you can segue anything. God damn it!
Indonesian police confiscate sex toy mistaken for an angel.
Oh, is there a picture of this?
Yeah, there is.
How can I Google the story? Or send me...
It's BBC Indonesian sex toy. You should get there.
Stand by. We'll see.
I should get you there. Mm-hmm. Indonesian police have confiscated a sex toy from a remote village after its inhabitants and some on social media mistook it for an angel.
Oh.
The doll was found in March floating in the sea by a fisherman.
Oh, I see. I get it now.
His family took care of the doll, and pictures soon spread online, although with claims it was an angel. Police investigated amid fears the rumors would cause unrest and found it was, in fact, an inflatable sex doll.
Or an angel.
Yep.
Here's a picture of the angel.
Oh, Jesus.
Life size.
Who would fuck that? That's disturbing.
Don't know.
Indonesian news outlets said that photos of the doll dressed demurely and wearing...
like you do.
With a surprising mouth shut.
Right. Photos of the doll dressed demurely spread on social media shortly after its discovery. Rumors then spread that it was a bidadari, along with unverified stories about how it was found stranded and crying.
Oh.
This prompted a police investigation.
That's the air coming out. Those aren't tears.
Many across Indonesia continue to hold strong beliefs in the supernatural, including the existence of bidadari, which is a type of angel or spirit. Local police chief told reporters that villagers had found the doll shortly after the rare March solar eclipse that swept across Southeast Asia. The timing of the discovery led some to believe that the doll had divine providence. They have no internet, and they don't know what a sex toy is, said the police chief.
But now they do.
Oh, my God. This picture is even better. Hang on a minute. This picture is funny because it shows them.
Go ahead.
Stand by. I've got to create.
Bring it on.
I am. I've just got to create the little thing right quick. Boom. Where's the picture? This.
Click to.
This shows them. They hoisted it out of the water. They're traveling in the boat with the doll.
Oh, my God. It's What's-Her-Face from Grey Gardens.
It's Little Edie.
Jerry likes
the best uniform for the day.
Jerry likes my... I mean, look at her. She's just...
That really does look like Little Edie.
This is what happens when you don't have internet, people.
Oh, my God.
Free internet for everyone.
Put that picture back up. He looks a little too happy to see her, almost like he's the one that tossed her out after using her.
Well, he's got a cigarette.
Yeah.
Having a smoke, saving an angel.
It's Indonesia. We've all got cigarettes.
Even the children have cigarettes.
They do.
Monkeys are smoking Marlboros.
The monkeys are smoking a Marlboro. Think about those Territons. They love them.
Good Lord. To be that. Can you imagine? Like, with all of the access to information and all of the bombardment of information that we have, can you imagine
not having? Right. Well, they don't even have, I don't know what their, like, their books are in or, like, encyclopedias are. Right. Do they even have those?
Right.
Like, what access to information at all do they have?
Like, the guy next door telling a story.
Right. Because he traveled somewhere. Right. And he saw something.
Somebody's uncle who went to the next town.
Yeah.
And came back, told a story about it.
Yeah, can you imagine? I don't know. They'd lose their fucking mind. I mean, how do you baby step a culture into that?
I don't even know.
I mean, we obviously can deal with it because, again, we have gradually gotten into the water.
And some of us kind of all of our lives. You know, I was having a conversation with Sharon just the other day because, you know, kids and technology is touchy and tricky because they have internet access and there's, like, dangerous shit on the internet.
And they figure out shit a lot quicker than the adults
really, really
do.
Really, really fast. Yeah. And so I was having a conversation with Sharon because I happened to walk into the kids' bedroom at bedtime and they'd been using, like, an old dead phone for some white noise for sleeping because somebody's got nightmares, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy into it. Anyway, so I walk in and they're, like, getting ready for bed and all of a sudden the kid, like, swipes down this phone, like this just defunct dead phone, and is hiding it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is happening here? You know, and I just ask him, I'm like, what did you just swipe away? Oh, nothing. And at this point, it's just a game, but, you know, and it was just some stupid dragon game. But we're, like, not that far away from it being God only knows what, like, right, talking to strangers and telling them where we live, or,
right,
you know, I mean, harmless, but still I don't want to deal with it, porn.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
But still not ready to walk.
but still, I'm not ready to walk in on that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I get a get out of jail free card, and I get to say, you know, why don't you talk to your mom?
Yeah. Oh, that seems appropriate. Yeah.
I'm gonna let your parents.
Dad'll pick you up on Saturday.
Yeah, right. So, somebody that's not me is gonna talk to you.
He's gonna pick you up with that new baby that he loves more than you, though. By the way.
But yeah, well, and Sharon was looking at me. The point to my story is that I was kind of like losing my mind. I'm like, absolutely not. Like, they cannot have internet accessible technology in their bedroom without supervision.
Yeah.
They're too old and there's too much out there. Like, you know, the oldest is 10 and a fairly mature, brazen 10-year-old. I'm like, absolutely not. This is not okay. And she's like, what? It's a game. Like, I'm on it. My mother's on it. I'm like, no, you don't understand, because this game has a global chat feature.
Right.
To God only knows who.
The globe.
This is not okay. And she's like, she's just baffled. And I'm like, you don't understand. I was 14 years old before the actual internet as we know it existed, still finding a way to reach out through technological means and tell people where I lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, come pick me up.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, complete strangers came to my house that I met, and I would go joyriding and gallivanting and doing all kinds of stuff. Like, I could have died.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Could have disappeared.
I could have been Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable.
Exactly. And she, like, there's 5 years between Sharon and I, and there's just that much of a gap in technology happened that fast between the two of us that I had that much access as a 12-year-old, as a 14-year-old, and she did not.
Mm.
Well, I'm not sure where I was going with that. Oh, probably the advanced technology, and some of us have had it our whole lives.
Yes.
I don't know. I was just dying to tell that story, so there it is.
Yeah.
No, the point was, in these countries that have no internet at all, like the story about the doll.
Yeah.
Like, if...
Thank God you're right.
Can you imagine if you just, all of a sudden, if the world... Everybody had internet. How do you tread into that water? There's just so much there. But we have been able to do it because we've gradually been fed it. So we can be in the pool with all of that shit and we can navigate. Mm-hmm. But they would have no idea.
I'm actually terrified of the opposite. What if it all went away?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that would be bad, too.
We would die.
It took me forever to put the internet and porn thing together. Like, way too long. I was kind of a slow learner on that one.
Yeah. Like, one of the first images, like, sent digitally.
And then it was cream cheese.
Was a naked woman.
Yeah.
Like, why did it take you that long?
I just didn't put it together. I don't know. I just didn't think in that way that would be something people would be putting out there.
Well, did it also... Well, I don't think it escaped you as to why VHS... ruled over beta in the videotape world.
You know, but to make the leap to completely digital, was kind of tough for a lot of people in a lot of different mediums.
I never saw a beta player, so I don't know why that would make any difference.
Oh, but the reason, if I'm not mistaken, and everything I've heard, I'm sure Aaron from LA is going to jump all over this. As I understand it, the porn industry jumped on VHS tapes, and they were out there, and that blew up the VHS market. Oh. Because it was there, and they're longer tapes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Though the video and audio quality on a beta tape in the day was much more, which higher resolution was better. Oh. But the VHS tape was a longer tape, and you could hold it would hold more.
More porn. Well, there you go.
And they just started firing out VHS tapes, and it just blew up the format and just killed beta.
So, I mean, you figure porn is, you know, that's the whole reason that phones got bigger was because of porn.
Sure.
That screen.
Because that little 4-inch screen was not quite
It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
We did it with so many mediums. We just some of us came to it quicker than others. Like when you know digital downloads became the thing instead of CDs. Like look at the two of you still hanging on to CDs. Like you've come to that a little bit more slowly than others. I don't own a single CD.
However, it has been interesting. I actually thought for the longest time that I was going to still be that person that would go out and buy the hard copy CD. And I have obviously newer stuff. Like I don't have an Adele CD. They're all download, and I never thought I would get to that point. However, I do, like you said, I do miss flipping through the liner notes and not being able to see some of the things. It's probably there. I just haven't clicked on whatever I have to see.
I don't buy them as much either, but like Adele had bonus features on the Target one, so I went to Target. Right, so I bought that. The first
I take that back. Then I do. My bad. I do own one because of the bonus tracks. Other than people giving me CDs and boxes that they want to get rid of, or I still go to here in town, for those of you that aren't around here, we have a place called Zia Records and Tapes, and people can sell their old vinyl and CDs and 8-tracks and shit. And I go and I flip through and I find a CD that's either out of print or, I mean, I'll give $2 for a CD rather than buy it online for $15.
And right, then you sell it back to them.
But you've come to the digital music a little bit more slowly than some.
Oh, absolutely. Right, yeah.
Like as soon as Napster was a thing, I bought my last CD.
Oh, wow.
Done. Yeah. And we downloaded music like nonstop until they shut it down, really.
Yeah.
You know, and then we went to a couple other pirate means, and now we just buy the music, or I have streaming subscription. You know what I mean? I've gone to entirely digital.
Yeah, and I had no idea what Napster was. Napster was like...
I knew exactly what it was, but I remember I dabbled a little, and there's a track I can't get somewhere else, or a remix I couldn't get somewhere else. I remember that, but I was, oh my God, nervous, because I was always terrified of... Who the fuck is vetting any of this? This could all just be virus. All of it could be virus. And it was.
A lot of it was.
And we all learned the hard way.
But I was 20 years old. I had a decent job and very little overhead.
You're invincible.
I had similarly aged roommates. And so we had a download queue that was nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time, just thinking of all the music that we could possibly think of. Download. And I still have quite a bit of it. Just download, download, download forever. We had high-speed internet access, which was unheard of.
We did a 56K modem?
No, it was DSL.
Oh.
It was the beginnings of DSL. Wow. No, I was big shit because I had a good job and very little overhead.
Right.
You know, I had a tiny little car payment, and I was basically squatting in somebody's attic for
And your
housing.
Insurance was cheap because of how you make your deductive choices.
you should have seen the car I was driving. There was the liability was only happening there.
I feel like he yelled out cream cheese during negotiations.
No, I said, what? I have to have insurance? Fine.
On this? What? Oh, for other people. Okay, got it. Because you're not going to replace this. I know that. It's the thing with my truck. Like, they're not replacing that.
So, I can see how you came to porn a little slowly.
Yeah.
That happens.
I mean, I got there.
I'm a cliff jumper. You know, the Amazon Kindle came out, and I didn't buy a book for almost 8 years. So as soon as Oprah stood on her couch with Jeff, what's his name, and like screamed about the Kindle, I was like, I have to have one of those. Where do I get it?
Okay.
And I didn't buy a book for a lot of years.
I was like, I will never. This is fantastic. Why didn't I do this before?
Yeah.
As soon as I got this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while I feel bad. So I go into a bookstore and I buy a book. And then I bitch because I'm holding onto a book. Because
then it's so heavy, and every time I fall asleep, it knocks me the fuck out.
And it's not lit up like
Jesus. And it doesn't
stand
up by itself on my nightstand, yeah? First world problems.
Right.
But I did try my first audiobook in my quest for a podcast to sleep through.
Mm-hmm.
I got an audiobook, and they're annoying as fuck.
No, you have to get a good one. The best ones are narrated by the author with a good voice.
And like David Sedaris. I can't say this is my first audiobook, because mm-hmm. I think of those as more like a comedy tape.
Like comedy albums, yeah.
Yeah, comedy albums, where he reads his books, and they are just a delight, and I bring them on road trips. But this was my first one of like a book I'd already read, in case mm-hmm. it was hard, in case I had trouble following it.
What was the book?
A Confederacy of Dunces.
You've recommended that to me more than once. I got to read it.
I just got it for a friend of mine. We were in a bookstore, like a changing hands kind of bookstore, mm-hmm. and he was saying that he didn't have anything to read, so I bought that for him. I'm like, if you have not read this, then you're. And he texted me like 3 days later. He's like, I'm sitting on a subway train between two people that smell, and I'm just laughing my ass off, and they think I'm the crazy one.
That's nice. Yeah, it's like fourth down on my Amazon wish list. I'll get there.
Yeah,
I promise.
You'll get there.
The audiobook is strange.
That's all right.
Somebody else just did an audiobook, and I can't recall who it was. They were just schlepping it on something, and they said that they actually voiced it. And I can't recall who it was. But I thought, well, that would be interesting to listen to them tell their story.
Well, this was just weird because they're trying to do accents, which I don't think of the characters as having accents. So they're doing the New Orleans accent. And it's just, I don't know.
That's why I have so much trouble with movies after I've read the book sometimes. I'm like, that's not what it looks like.
Yeah, it's not in my mind.
It's not what it looks like. Oh, right.
Gotcha.
Why am I a cheapskate all of a sudden? Because I was 20 years old and didn't want to pay for insurance? Shut up.
She's not 20 and she still doesn't want to pay for it, But you have to.
Yeah, but I have the money for the deductible. I just didn't want to.
Oh, no. That wasn't the point. That's not the point.
I
know. I'm gonna find out what this Tumblr is.
If I didn't have to have any of that,
I love Tumblr.
I wouldn't do that. I have Tumblr.
I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
Another way to get to porn. I'll share.
According to Joe, it's gonna be the next time I yell out cheesecake, cream cheese.
Could be. Continuing on with a couple more stories, we've got Wayne Simmons. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Wayne Simmons.
Is that Wayne Newton and Gene Simmons' like love child?
It is not. And when you see a picture of him in a minute, you'll be definitely sure it's not.
All right.
He's been a regular guest on Fox News and has served as an intelligence advisor in Afghanistan and in the U.S. Army.
Oxymoron.
There's only one problem. He got all those jobs as a result of a lie. Simmons, who falsely claimed that he had spent 27 years working for the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, has recently pleaded guilty to major fraud against the government, wire fraud, and a firearms offense. It turns out that Simmons isn't an intelligence expert at all, but rather a convicted felon with two firearms convictions and an unspecified conviction from Maryland under his belt already, and it looks like he can add a few more to the list. Simmons admitted he attempted to con his way into a position where he would have been called on to give real intelligence advice in a war zone. His fraud cost the government money. He could have put Americans' lives at risk and was an insult to the real men and women of the intelligence community who provide tireless service to this country. This case is a prime example of this office's ongoing commitment to vigorously prosecute government fraud and threats to national security. Mr. Simmons lied about his criminal history and CIA employment in order to fraudulently obtain government contracts and separately defrauded a victim through a phony real estate investment deal. He's a peach.
Oh, yeah.
This guy...
to be nominated to the Trump cabinet.
Yeah. Simmons was part of Accuracy in Media's Citizens Commission, which was part of the media's successful push to get the U.S. government to formally investigate the Benghazi attacks also.
Oh, yeah. This is where this guy comes in.
He also, Fox News, he was a Fox News advisor. This is the schmuck I'm talking about. Fox News affirmed that he had appeared on the network under the false pretense of being an expert in national security and terrorism, but he was allegedly never employed by the network and was never paid, according to Brett Breyer of Fox News.
And now I love that they act like they've never heard of him. That's my new favorite thing, is Fox News now is like, oh, no. He was barely on.
He was never here.
Yeah. But he was their go-to guy for quite a while.
Constantly.
Yeah. I've
decided that from now on, every person that says Benghazi should be punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just like somebody should come from out of nowhere and just pummel them.
Yeah.
And then run off screen.
Just the ones.
Yeah. Just one. Just like a drive-by fruiting.
A drive-by fruiting. I love that. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Justin Siles or Justin Skiles, whatever is it, that Spears, whatever that comedian's name that does the Order of Sodomites.
Oh yeah,
he's hilarious. I like him.
Punch him in the face, just the ones. Don't be an ass.
Don't be an ass. Well, speaking of lowlifes,
Segway City.
Oh my God, cream cheese,
Carpageddon. Australia plans to kill all their carp with herpes.
I saw this headline.
What could possibly go wrong? Barnaby Joyce, the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, said that the only way to get rid of the bottom-dwelling, mud-sucking fish...
Well, that's rude.
...is to unleash herpes upon it.
Okay.
That's right. A $15 million eradication program dubbed Carpageddon by the government aims to rid the Murray-Darling Basin of carp. Now, Mr. Joyce's spirited rant was met with laughter in Australia's lower house. Carp were first introduced in Australia in 1859, but numbers exploded in the 1960s after an adapted fish farming strain was accidentally released to the wild. It is estimated that carp make up 80 to 90% of the fish biomass within the Murray-Darling Basin, Australia's most important agricultural region. The carp are prolific breeders that compete with native fish.
They're going up the Mississippi too.
Yeah, carp are bad news.
And they're setting up barriers now, electronic barriers all up along to keep them out of the Great Lakes because they could destroy the Great Lakes if they make it there.
Well, because part of the problem of carp is the fact that they have no teeth means that they are bottom feeders, which causes erosion and makes the water turbid or dirty. It stirs up all kinds of shit, which kills other fish and kills the ecosystem there. So if they don't belong, and if they're and Australia has this problem with like more than one animal. Like rabbits were a problem, then dogs were a problem, mm-hmm. then because they, you know, it's the old lady who swallowed the fly is what happens whenever you're in Australia. Are you not familiar?
Nope.
No.
But you sold it, so I went with it.
I bought it too because
See, as it goes, it's a nursery rhyme.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you sing it?
I sure can.
Oh, God, this is gonna be great.
Because the story starts out: I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. She swallowed a fly. Oh, she swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. And the second verse says: I know an old lady who swallowed a spider. And it wiggled and wiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. And I don't know why she swallowed the fly. And the animals keep getting larger.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. Eventually she eats a horse.
She dies.
She swallows a horse because the horse has to go after whatever the hell else she swallowed.
And she dies, of course. And that's how it ends.
Oh, yeah. Got
but
it.
But Australia.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
Wow.
Australia was like overrun with rabbits, and so then they brought in like dingoes or something to kill the rabbits, and then they were overrun with dingoes. Like, poor Australia, every time they bring an animal in, it just overruns the place.
Every solution they come up with is just not working.
They're the old lady who swallowed the fly.
Okay. And all I ever think of is...
And now they're going to give the fly herpes.
The retaliatory garden lighting. Mm-hmm. Our national language is scream.
Screaming.
Almost every animal here can kill
can
you.
Can kill you. Yeah, well, soon, possibly carp, added to that list.
And Harrison was asking about Amina. Now, I don't know how recently this weather apartment collapse was, but I know she sent me a message today, and I'm pretty much on Facebook with her just about every day. So it hasn't been longer than a day or so since
I heard an update. From her. Yeah, she tagged us all in some zebra crossing thing happening.
Yeah.
So there was that, so...
And no, and she liked the post about today's show today, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was still alive at whatever time
Harrison,
it was.
Harrison, get on Facebook. She's on there.
There you go. Facebook solves all problems.
Right?
Yep. Next.
Right.
Next, Scott. Right? Right?
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
I got to get off the Facebooks, though, because every time I go into another social media outlet, I'm like, oh, this is so much better. There's, like, actual information happening here. There's, like, something other than misinformation.
Yeah.
I feel like Facebook is just full of like broken, wrong headlines that nobody's reading, and they're all just...
Oh, right. They're not vetting any stories. In fact, I remember.
Oh, you got to read three to be like, oh, that's what they're talking about.
Do you remember? Or you weren't here, or maybe you listened to the show.
Maybe
when I made the comment about I had a family member that had posted a rant about the Target thing.
Oh, it's spelled.
I didn't have to be here. You posted that on Facebook.
Right, true. And then got all pissed because I said it's weather, not weather, and because it was spelled wrong. Well, just yesterday, and I had to restrain myself. She posted one of those things where it's Facebook is going to start charging, so you have to repost this. You can't copy.
Bill Gates is also not sending you money.
All that bullshit. And I had Googled it. I pulled up the Snopes thing where it showed that it was all a scam, and I had copied it, and I was just about to paste it, and I'm like, nope, gonna let that one go.
Yeah,
gonna let that one go.
Good for you.
Like, cause I'm just
gonna
be
watch your tread water for like 3-4 more hours.
I would just be the asshole who just goddamn every time. I'm like, but why would you? Why? And in fact, I think it's interesting that people get pissed. I see them post shit, and then I'm like the third or fourth comment down. I'm like, this is fake. Delete it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why? It's fake.
Yeah.
Because you're part of the problem.
Right. You're perpetuating. It just drives me crazy.
You're spreading misinformation.
Yes.
And there was a story that's going around today, and I can't remember what it was, or maybe it was sometime during my insomnia last night, but like the story was there, and then there was like, you know, then the clickbait starts. Well, if you like this story, then read this one. And then one story over was the actual real story. It was like its own game of telephone that you could watch on there. So the clickbait had the answer to this is not a real story.
Oh,
but you could see where somebody had read that headline and made it like, you know, Malia's going into rehab for a year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's craziness.
Well, this is a real story. This is our final. I mean, we're going to talk about other stuff, but this is the last one I have. Real story posted today, followed up with pictures and an actual news service actually commented on it. Mm-hmm. The man in Philadelphia known as... Philly Jesus was arrested in
Black Jesus.
He was arrested in Center City, Philadelphia on Monday night. The incident took place around 6:15 p.m. at the Apple Store at 16th and Walnut Streets in Center City. Police tell Action News they received a call from the store manager about a man who would not leave the store when asked to. Officers arrived to find Philly Jesus, a former drug addict whose real name is Michael Grant, and who is known to Center City residents for dressing like Jesus and quoting Bible verses while carrying a cross around town. Police asked him to leave the store. They say Grant refused to leave and created quite a disturbance. He was taken into custody and charged with defiant trespassing and disorderly conduct.
Oh.
Witness Jen Miller posted a photo on Instagram of police handcuffing Grant. This is not the first time he's been arrested. Back in 2014, he was arrested at Love Park. His arrest at Love Park went viral. He was arrested for disorderly conduct and failure to disperse. At the time, Grant said that he was misunderstood, and he said he doesn't ask for money from people. However, he does accept tips. Now, here is a picture.
Just the tips.
This woman, Jen Miller, this is Jesus checking his email in an Apple store. And I don't know if you can see, but
Obi-Wan, Jesus, it's hard to tell.
But if you see on the floor, see laying on the bottom next to you, see the cross, the little cross that's laying there on its side. That's this.
Oh yeah.
So it's got his cross. One of the managers, one of the reports,
he's got his cross.
One of the reports I read said that they were wanting him to leave because his cross was blocking an aisle. Here's a picture of him being arrested.
Hey man, you got some water? I'm gonna turn it into wine for you.
Got some weed? That's what I figured he's.
It's Jesus. It's not me.
No, well, you don't ask me for weed though. You know better, because I'm never going to have any. And then my mom sent a story to me. I don't know if anybody else... oh, no, this isn't the story she sent. This is another one. My mom sent a story about... I don't know if you guys caught this. When Hillary made the comment about closing down the coal mines...
Yeah.
And because mom's like, well, she stuck her foot in her mouth for that. And with that, I didn't read the whole story, Mom, that you sent to me, but... one of the things that I thought was interesting tonight after Uncle Cruz stepped down and then Uncle Trump came out and gave his little speech about he's going to, you know, make everything great again and all that shit. I thought it was interesting because one of the things he said is, no, all those coal miners are going to go back to work and we need coal and da 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 da. At what point is anybody going to realize, and I don't know if I explain it right when I try to, I have it right in my head, but I don't know if I can explain it right. When this type of a widget isn't needed anymore, or we find out that this widget is bad,
right,
we make a different widget. We do different things. And those people get re-educated for a new job, and they go do something else because that job, you know, there's not a lot of electric chair manufacturers anymore.
Right.
Because we don't use them. Guillotines, really, we don't have a lot of manufacturers for those. So why is it that I just don't get why all these people who lose their fucking mind over... this coal mine stuff, like there's new technology, Tesla's making electric cars, all these things. We don't need as much coal. So, yeah, okay, a few people are going to be displaced, oil fields, production.
And it's a fight that's been going on since Margaret Thatcher.
And it just drives me crazy. I'm like, why don't you people realize that you got to do something else. Just because you've done it for 35 years.
No, 135
years. I mean an individual. Like maybe you've been employed for 35 years
because
doing
this.
Because
they've been left in these desolate areas.
With no other options.
Of the hills of the Appalachia, if you will, where there's nothing else there. And they were founded as coal mining towns. It's like the people on Route 66 or like the train towns where the train got rerouted. Like you're just left there and America kind of
moved
left
on.
Them, but they need something. So this whole clean coal, they believe that. Like they really don't. It's and I feel terrible for them, but like coal's going away. Like
yeah.
That's one of those things that we're pretty much all on board that
well and that
coal's,
and that,
coal's gonna stop.
That dream of refitting the electric chair factory to make wonderful solar panels like that that doesn't actually happen because then they go and they make the solar panels in China and they've left your electric chair factory just empty and sad in your town.
So now that's an abandoned building, and
now all you do is remember when things were good and everybody used to make electric chairs all the time and then we stopped making electric chairs and nothing else came in.
No,
it happened to steel in Allentown. It happened to a lot of the auto industry.
No, all over Niagara Falls.
I get all that happens. What I don't understand is nobody ever realized. I just don't think that anybody really realizes that they've got to pick up and do something else.
But they're still fighting for coal. The fight has been lost.
I don't know how to do anything else. Yeah. I can't afford education to do anything else. My state, you know what I mean?
I can't get out of this area.
I can't get out because if I stop working to try and go learn something else, then I lose everything.
Yeah.
And I don't have the energy to go to night school because I'm in a coal mine all day. I don't have the money to go to night school because I'm working in a coal mine all day. My kids don't know anything any better because all I'm doing is working in this fucking coal mine.
And if you take this
coal mine away from me, now I have zero things.
And the dream has always been to just have the good job at the coal mine and retire.
And have my pension and retire.
And it's a vicious circle, and you really wonder how any of them are going to handle it because I'm not sure about Bernie's energy policies specifically. I don't know if he's, you know, all clean energy all the time, if he's completely anti-coal, if he does the...
I don't know if he
biggest
knows.
Sin of all is calling
knows,
something
honestly.
Clean coal. I don't think so either.
No.
So I'm not sure how anybody's going to get around that because, like I said, I'm pretty sure everyone outside of like two senators from West Virginia and maybe some congressmen from Pennsylvania, everybody else is kind of like, that's going away. Like there's not much left we can do with it and nobody wants it. Like
there's no the demand is dropping off vastly.
But one of the things that they've been willing to replace it with is fracking because
that
and
helps.
Just to go inside baseball. But fracking, when they tested for it, it was shallow. And the reason that so many people will tell you fracking is safe is because the fracking they're talking about was very shallow. And then the companies went and dug like 150 feet deeper into like shale and like started destroying like the water table and stuff like that. That's not what it's tested for. So all those studies that say that fracking is the new clean energy are telling you a line of bullshit. Because they're testing for, and I can't remember what the if you Google it, it's easy to find out what they're tested for a certain depth, and then no one does that depth anymore. Like they found out they could get like
a lot more by going deeper.
They got like one pot of gold out of that level, and there was millions and millions more. So again, there is no real clean fracking either. But that's what they're trying to get these coal people to move into in all these places.
Natural gas,
and that's how it's natural gas, and that's how like they got Pennsylvania into it. New York banned it. Honest, Cuomo just said no more fracking across New York State because of the agricultural. You know, New York State, everybody thinks about the city, but the rest of the state is a giant agricultural area. So they were like, no, you can't fuck with it. Like, if we lose agriculture, then we lose, you know, what, 9/10 of our land mass? So, But there's another lie that's being told. So now you have people sitting on land that they're not making the money from crops, but they think they're sitting on clean natural gas, and they think it's propaganda because they've seen these tests saying it's clean. So you have people fighting, like, let us frack. We want to make money off our land. But you're like, eh. But you can't tell them, like, the studies are for this level. The fracking they want to do is, like, journey to the center of the earth shit.
Right.
No. It's crazy.
I don't know. Now I'm lost in a whole
That's right, Mom. That's the story you told me.
And definitely Hillary's. Everybody brings out Bill to win. I don't think Obama could have won in 2012 without Bill.
Right.
He campaigned till he lost his voice, and he was That's the one thing we, I mean, seriously, as the blue team, that's the one thing we have going for us is we have a popular president that can go right on the, he can spend all summer campaigning into the fall. You have Bill Clinton, still hugely popular all over the place, ready and able to campaign.
Yep.
There's the team for running is pretty, the bench is pretty thin, but boy, the bleachers are full with the good, just really good cheerleaders and stuff. Wow. That metaphor got lost way late, but
I know I wanted to go like special teams.
Yeah. But the cheerleaders and the surrogates are
boosters,
all lined
no,
up.
Boosters, the boosters. That's what you're going for.
Mom's thought when she sent me the link to that story about Hillary saying that she was ready to bring Bill out of retirement. Mom, if I'm not mistaken, I understood it. Mom was saying that she thinks that was detriment to Hillary to say that she was gonna we're gonna have another Bill in presidency.
Oh, no, I mean they've been doing that all along. He campaigns. He campaigns
absolutely,
everywhere,
all
and
the time.
And he wins. He wins for her is the thing, is because he's enormously popular.
He's still super popular and charming.
And that's
and
the one thing that if you talk to report, even people that hate him and think he's the Antichrist will tell you he's so charming you can't stand it.
Uh-huh.
Like even Elizabeth Hasselbeck was like, I was taken off guard by how much I liked him at the end of it, and I hate him.
I've never seen him in person, but he is just like I'll just watch him speak about anything. I don't care.
And they said there's just something about his, and you could tell he might be
just
a molester
charming,
because he really does kind of charm you into.
Uh-huh.
So the last thing, and I want to know if anybody has the picture. I know it's kind of, I shouldn't say I want the picture, but there's a football player in Mesa who I guess.
I don't have
the
picture.
In the yearbook.
Oh God, the yearbook
like,
thing?
Has his dick out. It made it all the way to the yearbook. Like no one
way.
Caught it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now he's being charged with 60-some counts
69
of
counts of indecent exposure. Oh. I mean, how do you get to 69? How many times, you know, is he on that many pages? Or is that how many people saw the yearbook?
I don't know, but I don't know how you not. They took
make
the
it 70.
They took the picture. Then they crop the picture, they look at it, they arrange the pictures. Nobody in all of this process ever realized, what's that?
Yeah. Huh, Johnny's got a third leg.
Was he on the yearbook? Does it say, was he on that
He's
committee?
In the yearbook.
Well, I know, but was he
committee.
Was he on the...
No, I don't think he was on the committee. And, I mean, yearbook pictures were always... I mean, we always kept in our pants. But
no, sure.
There was one year where me and my friend, just because we were assholes, just went around and got in every picture like we were in every club.
Yes.
So there's one year of my high school that I look very popular. And I think I'm in a Dungeons & Dragons poster. And I thought that was made up. Like, I thought they had punked the school by making up a made up thing because I didn't know what Dungeons & Dragons was.
Uh-huh.
So I stood in the picture and everybody else is in like costumes with swords. And I'm just standing there in a cardigan. Like,
that's fantastic.
But I thought they were punking the school, so I'm like, oh my God, I'm practical joking a practical joke.
So I,
and then I found out in my 20s that Dungeons & Dragons was...
It was a real thing.
It was a real thing.
In my high school yearbook, I was sitting in detention looking mad as hell, and that particular photo became like the lead photo for the section for academics.
Mm.
Oh. Literally, like...
I would like you to post that picture.
All right.
There is...
Deal.
There, because you know, we used to do real poppers in high school all the time, and we pretend we had a cold and wrap it up in a Kleenex and just sit there and like just kind of like zone out on poppers during.
You can tell
classes.
I went to high school in Utah.
So,
and the 90s.
There's a picture of my friend Michelle in the bleachers of a football game, and she's just full on doing poppers, but but nobody knows what they are, so it's in the yearbook. And when that picture came out, she's like, I'm going to get in so much trouble. I'm like, why? You just have your hand up to your nose. No one can tell that you're
prove
know,
it.
Huffing paint.
You're blowing your nose.
You're doing...
That's funny, too.
There's a 16-year-old girl doing, like, hardcore gay man drugs.
I wonder what she gets out of it.
Just the high weed for a while. So, yeah, I said the same thing about the 69 counts. Like, find one more count. Like, dig deep. Add criminal mischief on there.
Right.
Right.
Get one more person to
show the yearbook
testify.
To your wife so you get to 70. Like, don't make it 69 counts of indecent exposure. Because now you're just going to have people giggling on the news.
On the whole story, right. Yes.
But now it's a cautionary tale. Be careful pranking the yearbook.
But it looks like it's a big...
Okay, go ahead.
Careful with your pauses.
Go ahead. He's 17, he's 17 now.
Careful with your pauses.
Go ahead. Geez.
No, it looks like it's a very, well, it's a group photo is what I'm trying to say of many, many people from a distance to get them all in the picture. So I don't know how, like, detailed this picture can be from.
Well, I'm Googling it now.
From what it, from how it appears. There's just no way out of this. Here, like, it's not like him standing there with a schlong in hand.
Oh.
Hunter Osborne. No, is it? It's got to be this picture.
Yep. That's the one I'm looking at, too.
Oh, yeah. See, it's a lot of people.
So it's a big picture of the football team.
Yeah.
But apparently,
his junk out. And if you zoom in.
In the shadows between number 1 and 81, old 42 is hanging it out. He got a full sixer hanging out of his trousers there.
Get it, son.
Well, he'll be on Dion's Foxy Felon Friday. Because he is kind of cute too. The picture.
I'm gonna I'm gonna find the picture because we can show. Because you're not showing anything.
My car has windows. You know what I mean. You do have to have a key to get out of my house, but that's not because I have prisoners.
I'm not sure where we went, and I'm not entirely comfortable.
Because I called him attractive, but I didn't want anybody to think I was gonna like drive by the school in a van. And
I understand. No, the van's in the shop.
That's what I say to all the kids.
Kevin is very sad.
Kevin's very sad.
Hey, Kevin, how's your day? Not good.
It's hard to be the king.
Well, Catherine, let me tell you.
Tell me.
Here's the picture we're talking about. And the guy that circled, and you can't tell in this picture at all because it's so grainy. But apparently, because
Clayton zoomed in to see.
If you look really close between the two people standing in the front row, old 42 there, circled, is exposing a little more than he should, and you got all the way through the yearbook process, and once 69 people saw it, they decided, oh, we got to talk to this one.
And it was victim number 69 that finally spoke up,
right,
and said, "Enough is enough. Stop with me."
Mm-hmm.
I know, Aaron. It's embarrassing, but he is kind of cute.
Oh, Aaron put a link in the old chat room. There you go.
Very helpful.
Very helpful. We can get our way around.
Now we're
going
to have to scrub all of our computers.
or something else.
We're trying to get a contract with Subway quick.
Stop it right now. People are not okay.
Which, by the way, apparently Jared is being treated very harshly in prison. I read a story the other day about that. But
child molesters usually
are.
That's exactly right.
Sad for him.
Oh, too bad.
Maybe,
there's that.
Maybe don't touch people's kids.
Maybe not.
Don't say mean things about them on the internet. Just leave people's kids alone.
Happens that way.
Wait till they're 18 and then you can be assholes to them all you want.
Yeah. Alfie?
It seems like a good idea.
Do you want to do you have some entertainment stuff you want to talk about?
Yeah, just a couple things. I don't think we need to do all the music. Well, headlines! You played it anyway, so we
have
it was
already there.
I was the gayest.
I had to give it a flourish because I only have two things to say.
First of all...
We might end this show at 9.
The girl saved it. So, the Nerd Prom was on this weekend, and there was some stuff that went on. And then the Tony Award nominations came out today with record-breaking 16 nominations for Hamilton.
Three guys in one category.
Hashtag not a president.
Right.
Yes.
Hashtag never was.
No.
They call that three on a match, and I don't know why.
Oh.
But when three people get nominated in the same category...
It's funny how Kat and I both immediately
Dear Google.
What's three on a match mean?
I guess it's like bad luck to light three cigarettes on the same match, maybe, if I remember correctly.
It's a 1932 movie. Oh, here's the superstition based by Wikipedia.
World War II.
Also known as third on a match or unlucky third light is a purported superstition among soldiers during the Crimean War. To World War II, the superstition goes that if three soldiers lit their cigarettes from the same match, one of the three would be killed, or that the man who was third on the match would be shot. Since then, it has been considered bad luck for three people to share a light from the same match. This superstition has become part of popular in Western culture and in films, novels, and other art forms.
Oh, well, there you go.
Now we've learned. Look, learned something today on this show. I don't know how we did it. Well, Wikipedia.
And the logistics of it are that when the first soldier lights a cigarette, enemy would see the light. When the second soldier lights a cigarette from the same match, the enemy would take aim at the target. And when the third soldier lit his cigarettes,
he got dead.
Oh, there you go.
Look at you. More investigative reporting.
So, well, first we'll go with this because the other one we're just going to talk about. But let's find out the nominations because we're not going to play anything from it. The other thing.
No.
And James Corden will be the host of the 70th annual Tony Awards.
That was announced a while ago. Cool. I'm so excited. He's such a super fan. So talented and fun.
And a Tony Award winner himself for One Man, Two Governors. So, well,
Do you not have it?
Oh, I do. I just didn't realize how fancy we were looking at this. Okay, so your nominees. Best Play, Eclipsed. It's Lupita Nyong'o in a play written by What's Her Butt from The Walking Dead. Michonne is the playwright of this play that premiered at Lupita's college, and she played the role in college, and now it's made it to Broadway and has now been nominated for Best Play. The Father with Frank Langella, The Humans, and King Charles III, which I cannot remember. And Denai, Jesus Christ, what is her name? Gurria, please forgive me if I pronounce your name wrong. I always forget how you say her last name. But Denai, she plays Michonne. Best Musical, Bright Star, which is by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell. Yeah. Their musical was nominated. Hamilton, Pulitzer Prize winning Best Drama for the year. The School of Rock, Shuffle Along, or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed was nominated. And then Waitress. If you saw this sweet little movie and it had the girl from Dawson, what was her name?
It was a cute little movie.
What's her name?
From Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. But
it was Joey, not Katie Holmes. It was the other one.
Oh yeah, I never saw Dawson's Creek, so I don't know. But curly hair.
Uh huh. Yeah. The not Katie Holmes one.
Yeah. So very very sweet movie, and the woman who wrote and directed it died before the movie came out, and now Sarah Bareilles has done the music and lyrics for the musical adaptation of Waitress. So that was very exciting. Best revival of a play, The Crucible, Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge, Blackbird with Jeff Daniels and Michelle Williams, Long Day's Journey into Night with Jessica Lange, and Noises Off. If you ever get a chance, and this is one of those ones that does so well in local theater, community theater, colleges do it well, Noises Off is a comedy farce.
Not Dawson, Felicity, it's Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell,
that makes sense.
Yeah, she's in the movie. It was her like big grown-up role.
Oddly, I remember.
What show was she on?
Felicity.
Like I said, I've never seen either one of those shows. But Noises Off. So that's one of those things they do it. Andrea Martin and Campbell Scott came back to Broadway to do this. Megan Hilty is in it because there's like a diva that's in it. I've seen this show put on by like all levels, and it always is funny. Carol Burnett did a version on Broadway a few years ago that was just wonderful. Revival of a musical, The Color Purple, Fiddler on the Roof, She Loves Me, and Spring Awakening. I came back, and that's the one that was signed.
That was the very short-lived and very popular while all the deaf people went to see it and then died.
Yeah.
Revival of Spring Awakening.
Yeah, but I mean, and that is that's a really strong show.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine hates the lyrics to it, but can't help you. Book of a Musical, Steve Martin gets a Tony Award nomination. A great writer and a man who's been snubbed by the Academy Awards despite writing so many charming movies, including Roxanne, the retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac with Daryl Hannah. It's just a delight. An L.A. story. So many times he should have been nominated. So he gets a Book of a Musical for a star. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who clearly is going to win like $9 million.
Can do no wrong.
Right.
Yeah, gets it for Hamilton. Julian Fellows gets it for School of Rock. And George C. Wolfe for Shuffle Along. Best Original Score, Hamilton, Edie Brickell and Steve Martin. Glenn Slater and Andrew Lloyd Webber for School of Rock, and Sarah Bareilles for Waitress. Let's see, get some names in here. So, big stars.
Best performance by an actress in a leading role. You've got Jessica Lange, Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, so those are big ones. So Misery, the not a musical, but the play adaptation of Misery that got such great reviews with Bruce Willis and Laurie Metcalf. Bruce Willis was not nominated. But she was, and Jessica Lange, I would love to see Jessica Lange do Long Day's Journey into Night. Holy shit, would that be good. I'd have sold a leg for that. Lupita Nyong'o for Eclipsed. Sophie Okonedo, if you don't remember her, she was in the movie Rwanda and got an Oscar nomination for that. Hotel Rwanda.
Got nothing.
So good. She's got nominated for The Crucible, and Michelle Williams for Blackbird. actor in a leading role for a musical, Alex Brightman doing the Jack Black role. Danny Bernstein as Fiddler on the Roof, as the fiddler on said roof. Oh, and Zachary Levi from Chuck, who turns out he could sing this whole time. He's a musical theater geek. So this is his second time on Broadway, headlining a show, and he's in She Loves Me. And this time he's Tony nominated. Lin-Manuel Miranda, and then Leslie Odom Jr., who you have to tell me who he plays.
Aaron Burr.
He plays Aaron
Burr.
He's
the damn fool that shot him.
He's the damn fool that shot him. And he's from the original cast of Rent.
Uh-huh.
He was...
He's also from Smash. He was in Smash.
Yeah, he was in Smash. And he's... Because he's one of the people that sings... I'm falling, baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, they sang that song every fucking episode of the second season.
I still
season.
Love it. I love the last one.
I forgot
that
was him.
That's him.
That's him, the understudy. Yeah. But yeah, so God, talk about Black Don't Crack. Because if I'm not mistaken, that
he's
is
145
him.
Years
that's,
old. Yeah.
I think that's Benny from the original cast of Rent.
Hang on.
So Laura Benanti, who I absolutely adore, got nominated for She Loves Me. Carmen Cusack for Star. Cynthia Erivo gets nominated for The Color Purple, but Jennifer Hudson does not get nominated. And but this is the girl. This little girl was in the Prince tributes last week.
He was Paul in Rent. He was in the ensemble in Dreamgirls. He did
Paul.
Leap of Faith.
So he was just a minor character, and I thought he was Benny. Maybe he.
He was 17, making his Broadway debut as Paul in Rent.
So that's 20 years ago. So now, because the 20th anniversary of Rent's debut was just recently,
just
because
now,
they made it the whole second season of Smash was the story of Rent just told differently.
Yeah.
Where the playwright dies just before the show goes on. There's problems with the book, so they make it a sung-through show. Like, mm-hmm. they did it, that it was such a hit downtown that it got one of the fastest transfers to Broadway anybody had ever heard of. Like, the whole through story was just the story of Rent.
Oh, okay.
In the second season of Smash. And then Jesse Mueller, who was one for playing Carol King in Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
is nominated, and she's the lead actress in Waitress. And Philippa Sue got a nomination, which this is one of the surprise ones for Hamilton. And who did she play in that?
That's Angelica okay. Schuyler. I've been studying this Hamilton thing day and night. You don't even understand.
Oh, I think I do know.
It's an obsession.
And now, just to make me even feel worse that I did not go see Long Day's Journey in tonight, turns out Michael Shannon was in that, who I'm a big, huge fan of, that Crazy Pants. He was in the movies Take Shelter and Midnight Special. He works with that one director quite a bit. Oscar nominated for A Revolutionary Road with Kate and Leo. Wonderful. So, let me think. Megan Hilty gets a nomination for Noises Off. Trying to see if there's any big names. Andrea Martin, who I think has the most Tony Awards of any like actress, like something crazy. It's like the most Tony Awards for in supporting actress roles. I think she's got 5 or 6 now. She pulls off another supporting actress nomination, and then 3 people from.
She's received 5 Best Featured Actress Tony nominations, more than any other actress in the awards history.
Yeah. And now she has yet another one.
And there it is, now 6.
So, Best Performance of an Actor, Featured Role in a Musical. This is where Hamilton really dug deep. David Diggs for Hamilton.
Thomas Jefferson.
Okay. And thank you, you got to help me with this.
No,
because
I'm here.
I just listened to it, I haven't paid attention to the names. Jonathan Groff, who I know plays King George.
Yeah.
And I went, he's the big surprise of the night, because I guess a lot of people just find this to be too campy and too overplayed.
It's so cute.
But
it's so good. It's so perfectly... It's so very King George. It's so... Because he starts out, like, his first song is so, like, flip, like, oh, how cute, your rebellion, and you'll be back. Like, that's the name of the song is You'll Be Back. And he's just like, yeah, you'll be back. We've done this before, and I understand. And you know what? If you're not, I'm going to kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. Da-da-da-da-da! It's so good.
And then Christopher Jackson from Hamilton. And who does he play?
That's George Washington.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. It's both Georges.
Yep.
That's right, because they were surprised that both Georges got nominated.
Yeah.
So, But where I'm such a huge fan of Jonathan Groff and have been and since Spring Awakening.
He's just hilarious and good. And when he took over the Ham for Ham, that was hilarious. And then he tried to make us believe that he just woke Lea Michele up, like, fully made up and beautiful, like she'd been up for 3 hours. And she's like, oh, I'm just waking up. That's some bullshit. I call bullshit on that particular video. Not okay.
But he's just such a charmer. When he does Anything so Goes, fun. When he does Sutton Foster, Anything Goes.
And does all
goes.
The tap, and he's like, oh, let's go over here now. Yeah. I've seen that one too.
And the one that the nomination that everyone knew was coming was Renee Elise Goldsberry for Hamilton, and mm-hmm. she plays.
That's Renee Elise Goldsberry is Angelica. Philippa Sue is Eliza, okay. Hamilton's wife.
Hamilton's wife, and Jane Krakowski gets a nomination for She Loves Me.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, so there's just a lot of fun nominations in there, and it was just how many actors were recognized from the cast of Hamilton. That I think just kind of blew everybody away.
Kind of all of them.
Yeah, it pretty much was all of them.
Well, because we've got George Washington, we've got two out of three Skylar sisters, because Peggy's really...
She's not giving you what you need?
Well, because she's only like an aside in one song, like, and then she's the ensemble. Peggy doesn't have a number, Peggy doesn't have a part. She's mentioned, other than when you meet the Skylar sisters, she's mentioned one other time in the entire musical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... The third Skylar sister is not going to get nominated
for
anything
because
she's basically the ensemble.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you've got both Skylar sisters, you've got both Georges, you've got Hamilton, you've got the damn fool that shot him, and you've got Thomas Jefferson, which, seriously, amazing.
And I haven't, I've listened to it, but I haven't done the whole sit down with the headphones through the looking glass.
In my mind, like, 3 days ago, I forgot about it today because, beer.
Hashtag beer.
Yeah, I was gonna have Clayton do a whole intro for like my coming back with What Did I Miss, because that song is super cute.
Yeah.
No.
And so and then for the rest of the categories, if there's a category that involves a musical, trust me, Hamilton's
nominated.
Oh, I'm sure.
and that's how they get there. Like they didn't miss a beat, and
they broke the record of Billy Elliot and the producers, who were both tied at 15 nominations.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
And it was the acting category that gave them through. And it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was the three guys in the featured actors that bumped them up.
Because no one was expecting the Georges to make it.
And extra special because what category did they get rid of that they would have... I was just reading that earlier.
Oh, did they get rid of orchestrations or something?
They got rid of something weird that, you know, a musical would get nominated for. So Hamilton actually had to work like one extra harder to even meet the record, let alone break it.
Oh, no, there's orchestrations in here. Oh, they may have done, like, lighting and, like, a separate light. Like, maybe they combined lighting or costumes or something?
I don't remember. Hang on.
Because there's book, score.
I read the whole internet. No, it was something, like, super inside baseball and nobody cares
about. So, well, she looks that up and we'll find out what that is. Because, of course, I do.
I
do live that far up inside baseball. So, Matt Maraska, this was the night that I was supposed to be enjoying my scalp ticket to Hamilton. But Matt didn't understand how the scalping worked. And so he scalped in the 2 category, not the 3 category. Because he didn't understand that we were getting scalp tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, we could all sit together in this one if you would pick this package. And he just didn't understand what we were doing. So Maraska is actually seeing it today with Jacob, what's his butt?
Jacob Trawiler.
Yeah, from here in Phoenix.
I actually saw their post when they had just sat down and like, oh, I know that stage. And then I read the post.
Mm-hmm. So very exciting that they're, and because by the time any of us see it, it's not going to be the original cast, which kind of sucks. Because
they have to. They're talking about recording it before Lin-Manuel Miranda leaves to go play in Mary Poppins, because they're going to redo Mary Poppins and he's going to leave to go.
Is it going to be a rap Mary Poppins?
Oh, no. They're doing.
Aren't they doing that live?
They're doing a new Mary Poppins, but they're doing a different take from the book. And he's not playing, like, she doesn't know a chimney sweep. She knows some other character from the book of Mary Poppins. So again, we're not doing the movie. We're doing the books.
But his departure is planned. And there's like a tiny little rumor that I kind of want to start the petition because I will throw all of my money at that.
Well, there's
to see as much original cast as I can. Just
there's
film
a
it,
story
I'm never
out
gonna
there.
Get,
yeah,
I'm never going to get there.
There's a story out there that they record every show on Broadway and then have it in the
vault,
the arts libraries at Lincoln Center.
Well, that would make sense.
But my day at Lincoln Center, I didn't get that far. You know, I only had my one day to do it all. And I was busy seeing a show, doing a film festival. You know, I was every woman, literally.
Let's go to there right now.
Okay, so we'll go to the Nerd Prom.
All right.
Did anybody watch the Nerd Prom?
Did not. Saw a couple of clips. Mom and I talked today about it, and she said that, what's his, the host?
Larry Wilmore.
She's thought it was terrible.
It was, and again, we've said this in years past. It's one of my favorite things of the year is the Nerd Prom. It's the, in case you don't know, it's the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's the point of it is to hand out scholarships and different awards to journalists through the year. It's their version. It's their Oscars, and it's where Ellen DeGeneres came out. That this was the event where Ellen DeGeneres brought Portia de Rossi and publicly came out to the world. Was at the Nerd Prom before the episode aired of the puppy episode or whatever it was called, and. You like your presidents just a little bit more. Even George Bush was good at them. The president gets up and does a little stand-up roast of everyone in the room, and they take on the media a little bit and take on rivals.
Best sound design of a play and best sound design of a musical were both discontinued this year.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Which they need at Gamage, because the sound design of both at Gamage usually sucks ass.
I can't even... Yeah.
So, Bush was always good at them. Clinton was pretty solid at them, but Bush really... upped the game a little bit, because he really knew how to make fun of himself and make fun of, like, he would poke fun at Dick Cheney. Like, that was the one day a year I always liked Bush. Like, I would look forward to W on those, because he was good. And like Laura Bush the last year interrupted him, and she did a part, like, because she was sick of being there, so she had something to say.
The thing about W is, like, dumb as a president, but probably super likable as a person.
Again, another person that everyone says is very, very likable in person. No big words.
Not
but.
Anybody's favorite.
don't ever underestimate.
Don't try and say nuclear, but...
Right, exactly.
You know, like, maybe not our best president, but super likable guy. Like, he always...
Well, he always said that going to have a beer with.
Oh.
The guy you want to have a beer with. That's how they said he got elected in 2004 for the second time. Because he was more likable than was Kerry. So Obama's been good. The little video clips that he puts together, little movies that have been funny. And this year it was like, what was he going to do with this time off? And it was a little long and it was a little dry. And the payoff was that he and Boehner... John Boehner make friends, and he calls Boehner to find out what he should do when he has free time. So, like, all the shit that they do, that part was actually funny and kind of charming in the room that, you know, Boehner, who's now calling Cruz Lucifer and the devil incarnate, is, like, literally making short home movies with Obama.
That whole I thought the video was very funny.
It was, but the payoff to it was a little, and it started off kind of slow. Like, it just wasn't his best. Like, the year that Selena Myers, when it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Joe Biden, the two of them as Veeps, was very funny. But he was good, and then the build-up to Trump just kind of fell flat. Mm. And he's just too easy a target. You know what I mean? It's like shooting fish in a barrel, or whatever that expression is.
That's the right expression.
So everything was good. Like, he was talking about polling numbers, and he's like, unfortunately, John Kasich hasn't polled high enough to get a joke. An actual joke.
He's asleep at home right now.
So there was some genuinely funny parts. And then Larry Wilmore got up. And, you know, they don't play to that room, unfortunately. Which is bad for comedy, that they're not playing to the people in the room. And it was mean. Parts of it at home were nasty funny. Like nasty, nasty, nasty. Almost Joan Rivers, Bootsy, or whatever. What that... Butsy, whatever that oh, I can't, it's Doug Wilkie's favorite comedian, Pudgy.
Oh, sure.
That insult comic thing. And it was very, 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 very mean.
Oh.
He went after Wolf Blitzer, and he's like, there's so many great African-American journalists here in the room, and Don Lemon is here too, and like, Wolf Blitzer, like, why is he still on the air? That countdown is just the number of viewers you have going down to zero.
Oh, God.
Like, it was mean, and it went after everybody. And then he got on this thing of, like, Ted Cruz was the Zodiac killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a funny joke for a couple times and, like, try to prove he's not the Zodiac killer. So it was... But then he dragged it on for like, it felt like 5 minutes. It felt like that joke went on and on and on, and it just, it bombed. Because then it just got like, all right, now you're just saying that Ted Cruz is the Zed. Like, that's, it was funny at first, but now it's just getting like, it's turning into a birther thing. You know what I mean? Like, now it's going to be like some kind of a scandal, and it just off. And then at the end, and this is the part that I want to talk about, because I really did not like it. At the end, he said he thanked Michelle and Obama, and then he said, and if I'm keeping it real, like he called him the N-word. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nuh-uh. I don't give a shit what you're doing. You do not call the president that word. Like,
right, ever.
At no time ever is that appropriate.
And it looks like it was supposed to like play as like a...
A fist bump.
Like a fist bump, right. Like a black solidarity, you know, yo, Barry, you did it.
Yeah, and it fell flat in the room, and he had lost
Can't
the audience.
They
were hisses through all of it because he was being so... It was so personally
just
attacking,
much,
mostly CNN. Actually, almost exclusively CNN was all he went after. Because I think Fox News, it's just too easy. You know what I mean? Fox News is too easy.
They've been lampooned for so long.
And as everybody says about NBC, nobody's watching that network, so you're not really named brands. Nobody knows who the fuck you are. Mm-hmm. But, and that just ended on that thud.
Don Lemon gave him the finger when he said, some of America's foremost black journalists are here tonight, and Don Lemon's here too. Which I feel like is always a funny joke.
Yeah.
Like,
But, and you know, and I because the next day... You know, I was mostly in a coma that whole next day. So I didn't get to hear, like, the daytime. You know, I wanted to see the Sunday morning chat shows and see what they had to say. But I was watching it on delay. But I knew that yesterday at 7 o'clock or whatever time Don Lemon comes on, I knew he was going to go after that because he talks about, like, that word. He likes to get them stirred up about whether or not that word is appropriate and when you should, like, whitewash it. Like, they want to get rid of it out of...
like To Kill a Mockingbird or something like that?
No, not To Kill a Mockingbird. The one at Huck Finn.
Oh, Tom Sawyer.
Oh, Tom Sawyer.
That they call
or
him
Huck
slave.
Finn. Huck Finn's a book too.
Yeah, they want to call him slave instead of that word and stuff. And then he's like, nope, doesn't really fit. You need the word there. So they were going at it, and this one commentator was on there, and he was screaming at this woman because she was like, no, it's a term of endearment between black people. He's like, this word dies with me and with you and with all of us. He's like, my grandkids should never know that this word, except for in like ancient history.
Right.
But he was, and I had to agree with him. I'm like, I found that uncomfortable and very disrespectful. And it kind of opens up these things that they're saying on these Fox News pages. Like, if it's okay for Larry Wilmore to call him that, then I guess comment number
three.
Then
his daughter is fair game.
Fair game, because you just said the word was, yeah, I was like, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah. And Obama's speech, up until that video, Obama was good. It was just, the Trump jokes were too easy.
Yeah.
It was better the year when he was like, it's still on the Celebrity Apprentice and like pretending he was presidential, but now like it really was too easy. And that he went after Colin Burney, the young face of the Democratic Party, and how he took over the mantle of social media from Obama. But like Clinton is like getting your grandmother on Facebook for the first time. That's not how any of this works.
Put on my wall.
Yeah.
I put the pictures on my wall.
So I was hoping you guys might have seen that because it was...
I've only seen a couple of clips, and of course the mic drop is playing on repeat and loop on my on all of my news feeds. And I'm really disappointed about the mic drop because now it really just is a dad joke.
The
mic drops are over.
We are talking about the same video where he does the whole thing where he posts on Snapchat accidentally and then goes for a driver's license and she's like, I need your birth certificate.
Yeah.
That whole video. I thought the whole video was so cute. I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't as tight as earlier ones. Like, the other ones were like, snap.
He's done.
He's tired.
Yeah.
Lame duck and everything.
I just wanted his last nerd prom to be a little snappier. I wanted a better production value. But
zero fucks are given. Like,
the Boehner part was very good, and it really kind of shut up the room when they saw, like, he and Boehner are friends. Because, you know, Boehner wasn't allowed to play golf with them.
No.
And they actually did kind of like each other, but the... the Republican caucuses would absolutely have no part of Boehner if he went and played golf with them.
Oh, I did. I actually.
So there was no, there wasn't even a conversation where, like, Reagan, they used to say when Reagan and Tip O'Neill would be arguing, they would just go and have a drink together and kind of like wrestle it out, Turkish oil wrestle it through.
That visual. Holy crap.
Over drinks.
Sure.
But Annette, stay tuned because, and they were talking about like what a difference it'll be next year because Hillary. Not particularly spontaneous or funny. At least we don't know she is yet.
Yeah.
And Trump would just be, he can't take a joke at all. Like, he absolutely has the thinnest skin of any human alive. Complete and total pussy.
Yeah.
That he, you know, he's not going to be able, because it'll just be mean. He'll just say, you know, you kill JFK and walk off. Like, because he thinks that's funny.
Maybe he just won't be there.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best possible way. But he wasn't there, but his sons were. Oh, and they went after the sons. Obama went after the Wilmore did. He went after Trump's sons because they were in the audience, and that was kind of funny.
Oh, I again missed this all out.
He had moments, but he wasn't playing the room because he was being too mean to the room. But there was times at home where I was like, "Oh my god, that like you were just I was shocked at the whole thing. It was so mean."
All right.
Oh no.
No, we just I'll pause to read a post in the chat room from Joe about having to put a duck down. I hope it was tasty. Dot could. I thought Dot was a girl, but Dot.
How exactly do you make duck sauce? Is it out of actual ducks?
It's a fantastic. We need to find that out.
If so, is that a thing that could still happen? Just
probably
asking
not at this
for
point.
A friend.
And I don't know how you put a duck to sleep. How is that administered?
Oh, so speaking speaking of, I'm listening to talk radio today because I was stuck in traffic and I wanted to get the election updates. And they cut
you on KTAR?
Yeah, but then I went to like NPR or something and this lady was describing this movie that's coming out. And she said it's called like Crashed, preceded by a hashtag.
Hashtag
so
crashed.
You're telling me that NPR still doesn't understand how hashtags
work.
I almost crashed my car.
We even
seriously.
We taught Marnie how hashtags work.
We could do anything.
Like, it was like three
we
or
need
four
to call
years
NPR.
Ago. Yeah. Oh my god. Preceded by a hashtag. Oh no. Preceded by pound sign.
Shut the front door.
And here's our dusty muffin.
But it like took, that's and the reason because I was laughing at the preceded by a pound sign because I didn't know what she was saying.
Right.
And then I got
it. And then
it
hit you.
That oh my god,
it
she
was hashtag crashed.
But she's like reading off the paper and doesn't know how to say that. So she's like preceded by a pound sign.
Oh NPR. You know what?
It was a delight.
There's
a delight.
So much good, and then there's so much that just goes horribly, horribly wrong.
So Frank and
Grace and Frankie. I don't remember who comes
Friday.
First, the chicken or the
egg. Yeah, that's who's
on first
this Friday.
Mahatma Gandhi, jackal. Is it a jackal?
Two turtle doves. Pac-Man, Titus talking.
Oh,
Titus
no.
Molly's talking.
Oh no.
So
clearly, I know what I'm doing Monday.
Watching that,
and it's not show prep.
You have to do show prep till Tuesday, darling.
That's true. And
minimal at best.
I've got my seat at the bar reserved for next week. It's all good.
So I'm thinking that raising ducks is tough.
I guess. Hang on, we're reading.
Oh no!
Wild Kingdom.
HTTP Colin.
Huh?
It's like a genocide of fowl over there.
Yeah, I know. There's a chance that animal husbandry is not for you.
Genocide of fowl. I was looking for a name for the show.
There it is.
I don't know
somebody
if that,
should call fish.
That's
game,
how that
maybe.
Will be remembered.
Maybe cream cheese or Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm not drinking, so I forgot about cream cheese. Oh my god.
All right, what were we talking
it's not,
about?
Not right. That's okay.
So, I'm going to make it
anyway. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's all I wanted to hear last night. I needed a little bit of Whitney.
Did we get it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we did?
Oh, wow. You really don't remember?
We'll have to discuss it after the show.
I mean, we were practically the Backstreet Boys with that song. All five of us were, like, dancing and singing to that.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. That's how you're going to be remembered. Wow. They thought I was Jason Carlton.
That's true. One guy thought he was Jason.
This guy comes up and starts like, oh, hugs
good for
me.
You.
And like, blah, blah. Like, oh my God. Just so
fucking. Should have taken advantage
of that. He was
screaming
cream cheese through the whole thing. No, seriously, nah.
No.
This was like Grandpa Munster with duck sauce.
Sad. And
so he's looking at me because this guy won't stop and tell me about his trip to Palm Springs. And he's like, what was that? I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm Jason Carlton.
Oh.
Like, I'm sitting at Charlie's. I'm bald. Move on.
Right.
Bar lighting was
bar
kind.
Yeah. I was having a good bar lighting day.
It's kind to all of us. Uh-huh.
And then the full trailer is available for the new Absolutely Fabulous movie. Catch it, live it, learn it. It just doesn't matter. And no. A couple of weeks ago, I thought they had a new special out, so I ordered it through Netflix DVD and realized it was from, like, 20 years ago.
Oh, it was
ago.
That old special? Yeah,
it was
yeah.
the old special, but I watched it anyways, and it still made me laugh.
Still good.
And then I saw the one about the Kardashians and how they're springing up like weeds when they're trying to explain to Joanna Lumley what a Kardashian is.
Yeah.
So funny.
The entire series is available on Hulu with your subscription, and I often watch it like late at night while I'm like cleaning the bar, get finishing up with work. I turn on all the lights and then I turn on AbFab and I turn up the volume. I have the gayest life ever.
That's one of those shows that I just giggle myself to sleep. Like it starts and I can't. The one where she swims with the dolphin
and I don't.
She's got a dolphin in her bathroom. Just
It's one of those that it's like listenable. Like some shows you have to watch and some shows you can listen to. And AbFab you can totally just listen.
Well,
to.
I can act it out for you half the time. Yeah. So
you just envision what's
happening. I saw the trailer
for
the new movie the other day. And it made me laugh. I mean, I'm like, they're older. Jesus Christ, they're older.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, Joanna Lumley was playing 72 20 years ago. Yeah. So now she's playing 90s.
140,
like,
fuck.
Now she's actually 72.
And the Met Gala, but I haven't seen any picture. I'm not sure when the Met Gala was. It must have been this weekend, too.
It was.
Sunday?
Okay.
Sunday. I'm going to go with Sunday.
So I got to go through and Google pictures of the Met Gala, because that is always the best clothes.
Yeah.
Or the biggest, because it's art.
Headlines of that as you're Googling the imagery. The Claire Danes Cinderella dress.
I saw that one.
You saw that one?
Yeah, that's what made me know that the Met Gala must have happened.
Aside from that, I mean, that one clearly wins. Aside from that, my clear winner is Jennifer Hudson. Gorgeous in a white gown with, like, feathery something with the train. Demi Lovato looked gorgeous because she just is. I'm also going to have to renew my subscription to Latina Magazine because I saw she was on the cover and had a whole spread in that.
Bang, bang. Cream cheese! Cream cheese! Or however you say that in Latina.
Will Smith's children need to just go away some more, but at least the one kid took off the Batman costume.
Oh, okay. Was Sarah Jessica Parker there?
Yeah, and what the fuck happened to her?
Oh, every year, that's how you ask.
Her face, I'm just like, what?
Well, she's older.
Happened to you? Way.
Yeah, and she said nothing done.
Lies.
Oh, no. Has she had something done?
I don't know, but it doesn't look natural. Wait, I was just sending somebody Cliff's Notes on this. Hang on. I was just sending screenshots of that, like, earlier today. I was like, oh, and this one, and this one.
By the way, just to recap, we were talking about the 69 charges, you know, or against the skin.
How did we arrive at that?
Well, I don't know how we arrived at that, but 250... copies of the book were handed out before somebody brought it up.
Oh, wow.
I just found that out.
That's a lot.
But I'm like, 200. And what are they going to do? Are they going to retract them all and say you have to turn them all back in? I'm like, fuck no.
No, they're going to get buy everyone a Sharpie, though.
I don't
color
really
that part in.
Know.
So now people have lost their minds.
Yes, they do.
LGBT Bible-bearing Christians went into Target stores in Tennessee, Illinois, and Oregon this weekend, accosting customers to tell them that they need to repent because of their transgender bathroom policy. A man in Portland paraded around the Target store yelling at people, "Target, this is your wake-up call. The Bible says that from the beginning God made them male and female. He didn't make them transvestites. He made them male and female. Target, this is your warning. You will be judged according to God's standards. Not man's, but God's." And he goes on this truly original rant. Hold on.
You know, I have another thought on that, too. And I realize this isn't currently in the modern world. This isn't the first time that there's been a question, I'm pretty sure, about what you are. Somebody along the way has there's been homosexuality forever.
Yeah.
And
some cultures even embraced it.
There's a lot of pictures that, I mean, you know, those older black and white pictures that'll show up from when the cameras first came out where it was clearly apparent that that was a man dressed as a woman because I'm sure that that's how he identified back then.
Sure.
Or in their life. But what I'm wondering is, obviously, as a human race, as a species, as all these things, things evolve, things change, right?
Sure.
One of the things I have wondered about is, with the changing roles in the world, used to be that you had to get married, you had to have a family, and you had to have a bunch of kids because you had a farm, and that was cheap labor because all of the family and the kids, they all worked on the farm, and that's how you raised your crops. Like,
plus children and survive.
Right, right.
So you also had a lot of
had
kids.
Had to have a bunch of
and you didn't have
like,
birth
play
control,
the
so I mean, yeah.
Right, so there were all these things, factors that went into it. Now, one of the things I wondered is, because, again, things morph and change and species grow, I just wonder in life, yeah, as people, is it changing? Are we seeing more of it, not only because it's more socially acceptable?
Are you talking about transgender people?
Right.
Okay.
Are we seeing it more because it is the roles have changed over time?
Oh,
like the human species is adapting, and those roles aren't. Like I just think
that somebody pointed it out to you, like a word or a sign, or like, oh my God, have you noticed that that's on the corner? And you're like, oh, I never noticed it before, but like now I see it everywhere. And I think that's that thing, is somebody just pointed out that it exists, it's right there in front of you, and you just weren't looking before.
Like the Native Americans in Columbus and ships?
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck?
My favorite analogy.
Yeah. So, and I think that really is I think like numbers haven't changed as much. We're just looking now, and people are saying, yep, that's what I am.
Well, I was
where before
saying,
they would just walk by and you'd be like, oh. You might pause, like, well, that's
and there's
something.
There's a definition and a name for it and a community. Imagine living in a world where these were your only options. Like, you've got men and you've got women, and that's it, and men act like men and women act like women. Like, this is a world that existed not very long ago and still exists a lot today.
Yeah.
And I think actually contributes to some transitions, believe it or not, especially in like female to male transition, because there's so much empowerment still in being a man. It's really hard to be secure and be a confident masculine woman. It's so much easier
to yentl it.
Right. It's so much easier to just.
And that's why
I had to get to a Streisand reference. Good.
Well, no, but I mean, it's so common in stories. It's Shakespeare, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Like that's the plot of Twelfth Night, and that's that story recurs over and over and over again of a man disguising herself, a woman disguising herself as a man to solve something, and then hilarity ensues or tragedy ensues. But that is what a lot of times what it is. Or those people would find such a small, it was so insular that. Oh. You would just transition and be with the person that knew you, and then you just kept to yourself.
Sure.
You'd go live somewhere quiet and rural and live in a little world where it was just you and that other person.
And it's only very recent that you could have a reality television show
right.
about being a transgender individual. Like, it was quiet, it was private, it was tortured, it was... Or you pulled a fun home and you stepped in front of a bus. You know what I mean? I think it's probably still not a very easy reality.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's not.
But there's more light to it than there has been historically. So I think we see it because we're allowing transgender people into the light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not stuck in the shadows. They're not stuck in the dark. We as a country, as a society, as a community are saying, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah.
And we're figuring out how to deal with it. And some people are doing it by ridiculous bathroom law things. And some people are doing it by being on TV. And some people are just saying, all right, I don't give a shit anymore.
Right. And as Bill Maher says, if your answer goes any more like deeper than I don't give a shit, then there's probably an issue with you.
Right.
If someone else's life enrages you to a point of like passing laws and screaming Bible verses in a Target, that's on you. Like, that's not the person using the bathroom. They're going to the bathroom. You're causing the ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been using that bathroom for years. You just didn't know.
Right.
Or you did like everybody else did and really didn't make eye contact in a public restroom because that's kind of creepy.
Because it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Nobody wants to talk to anybody in the bathroom.
So, I mean, and I really think it's the combination of all these things, and you don't have those people. Like, there's the rumor about the Gershwins, that they weren't brothers, that they were lovers.
Mm-hmm.
But they lived as brothers.
Sure.
and they were very much in love, but they introduced themselves that way, and their private life was just kept to themselves. Mm-hmm. As to what happened after everybody went home was their business. I don't know if that's really true or not, but that's been the... Well, and it's the long-standing rumor.
And how many spinster aunts live together for a lifetime?
Right, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Or the mm-hmm. one that, you know, that's the friend, and they do that, you know, they run the farm together. Mm-hmm. They keep to themselves out there. And that's that whole, like, Midwestern thing of like, well, they don't bother us, we don't bother them, mm-hmm. until they want to come to town and be acknowledged as a couple. As long as they stay there and stay shut up, and you know what I mean?
Confirmed bachelor, and oh, he took George in. Isn't that so nice? They've been, my gosh, wasn't that 20 years ago now?
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, and everybody knows those stories.
Sure.
Like my mom's favorite nephew.
Oh, they're in everybody's family.
That moved in 1972 to San Francisco and has a roommate.
Yep.
All right, Ruthie, think this through. And you know, she was like, yeah, got it now.
There it is.
Just put your thinking cap
on. Wait, is this a conversation you had with your mother?
Yeah, about her favorite nephew. That she was so excited. She was going to visit him. And I was like, because he had moved from San Francisco back home to North Carolina to be closer to his mother after the earthquake during the World Series.
Okay.
So he moved and then caught like Hurricane Andrew or something, like went from like natural disaster to natural disaster. But so my mom was going to visit him and his roommate that somehow with this fantastic job, whatever he had for AT&T or something, like, you know, he was a very wealthy man, needed a roommate, and she was going to his house for Thanksgiving. And I was like, and she was like, yeah, it's Tom and his roommate. I'm like, it's not Tom's roommate.
Sure.
And you need to not treat him like a roommate. You're going to Tom and his boyfriend's house that they have together. He's not a roommate. That's his house. His partner invited you and your husband to dinner, and you need to act like that. And she was like, huh? And that's when I was like, think it through. Just 5 minutes of thought. And she was like, oh my God, how did I not see that? Because you don't want to. You just never wanted to see it.
I would not have expected a story like that from your mother.
Right, but she's from a different age.
Right, but she was progressive with you.
But no, she got dragged along on a ride that she didn't necessarily want any part of.
But there were no selfie sticks to stop it.
Yeah. There was no one to call him. She was forced on a journey that she was happy, and she had uncles that she was happy to think, oh, George just moved in with... Yeah. She just took everything, because that's what you did. You just took it at face value. And you certainly don't ask follow-up questions, because that's going to lead to you knowing something you don't want to know about a relative, which is how she would have preferred it with me for a while, you know what I mean? If she could have got away with that, that's why I'd come out to her twice, because, you know, the first time went right in the hat. Didn't hear that. Sure didn't hear that.
So Donna Summer, what?
Yeah.
Who's Tim?
Yeah. That boy that's always
Tell us about your friend.
So yeah.
Who's your study buddy?
But it was just very funny to have her have to think through that conversation. And she never told her sister. So her sister died never knowing that was not her son's roommate.
Wow.
But again, happy to just accept that a man with that kind of money in that house needed a roommate. Was just, you know,
sure.
She watched her televangelist on TV and smoked like a chimney, and she...
You know, okay.
She liked him. She knew gay guys. She just didn't want to, like, she just was never going to say they were gay, you know.
Wow.
That's the girly nephew, and that one's, you know. So, you know, her and her sister both had gay nephews.
Well played.
Oh, heavens.
Well, bring it on, Anant, because I can't think for myself.
I sent you a story earlier, but I guess you're not going to do it, so I was going to bring it up.
Bring it on.
Where'd you put it?
I sent it to you. I messaged you earlier today about it. Tomorrow afternoon.
Oh.
Tomorrow afternoon at exactly 5:07 p.m. Central, actually 3:07 Eastern, it will be 7 hours and 13 days since Prince died. It's been 7 hours and 13 days. So that song, Nothing Compares to You, Prince's song that was really made popular by Sinead O'Connor, but he wrote it for her.
She did it, yeah.
And then she changed the opening lyrics to 7 hours, 13 days. He actually, the original lyric, if I'm not mistaken, is, I've been I've been walking around or something. I've been, that's not the original lyric according to, but he sings it live that way. Anyway, they're simulcasting the song on radio stations all over the world at the exact same time tomorrow to commemorate the 7 hours, 13 days since his passing, which I just thought was pretty cool. So tomorrow I'm going to be looking for that locally to see if somebody plays it.
Hold on one second. Let's see.
Okay. Got it. But I did read that that's not the... actually, I think it's in this story. It started out, I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away.
That's the second verse.
According to this story, it's like that's how it's... That's according to this, O'Connor changed it to 13 hours... 7 hours and 13 days.
Or 15 days, according to the Googles.
Oh, this one says... Yeah. You... Can't believe everything you hear or read.
That's true. This is the original by the family. This is the group it was written for.
Oh. It's been 7 hours. Oh, well, then they're wrong. That's really weird. That says 15 days. She says 13 days.
I say 15.
Right.
Your article says 13.
No, the article. This also says 15.
So I think
it says 13, 15. Right. That's the second line.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But they have it wrong here. Family, and that's who it was written for. They did the Screams of Passion was their big hit. Annette, go ahead with your question. so yeah, and it was a fun album. The big hit off the album was Screams of Passion, and that was just a second side of the album filler song that whoever was helping Sinead produce. I do not want what I cannot have, or
something like that.
Yeah. One of the greatest albums in pop history, by the way. It's just chock full of great song after great song, beautifully. And she just did the line in the cover, too. So, I mean, she just had two back-to-back just fantastic albums. And that was just gorgeous, what she did with that. And whoever put those two together, and she tells that story where she says she was roofied, she met him afterwards, and so there was kind of like a Bill Cosby story where she had to escape, and... She's got her issues.
I mean,
probably
everybody's got baggage.
Yes, I think we will get muted for playing that.
I don't know if we will for that version.
Well, and for that bad of an audio quality, playing it from your iPad through a microphone
yeah.
as opposed to a direct patch. I feel like their filters may not pick that up. We're going to find out, friends.
It's very hard to find, but the group was called The Family. And I want to say it was like 86 or 87.
I have that. I have an album of them.
Yeah, they only made one. They're standing on a staircase.
Yeah, I have that.
All very dynasty looking. Yeah.
Weird that I have that.
Yeah. And
it's not that weird.
No, but I didn't know about them.
The Screams of Passion was
out,
bequeathed them to you.
I inherited it.
But the Screams of Passion was a big hit. You would have had that song. That was a big, big hit.
Huh.
Yeah. And it was filthy dirty.
Well, the
best kind. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
Oh, and Ant, I like your question. So, but either way, that is very, that's a sweet tribute. Have 7 hours and however many days you like.
15.
Since you took your love away.
That's always been the lyric.
But tomorrow's only Wednesday. That'll only be 13 days because didn't he die on a Thursday? I think he died on Thursday.
Thursday morning.
Yeah. So 15 days would be Friday. Mm. I mean, I know you're new to calendars. I don't want to...
But
you can yell cream cheese whenever you need to.
I just don't understand the math involved. No, I wasn't paying that close of attention. I don't know. And I was having a conversation about it in relationship to Prince dying at the bar, because you know somebody was like, "Well, are you devastated?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm not. I didn't."
Right.
You know, and my classy comeback is, "I didn't know him."
Right.
No,
personally.
Didn't know him. Yeah.
And everybody has their own people like.
Well, and then it occurs to me that I have yet in my life to be. Like personally devastated by something that happens to someone who is celebrity.
Right. But wait till Demi Lovato goes.
That'll be the worst.
It'll be a dark day.
Oh my God! What if something happened to Anna Kendrick?
Yeah. See.
Oh my God.
And the oddity is, and we talked about this when he died. Though I have no respect or huge admiration for him and all of what he didn't do, but when Reagan died, it was just crazy to me, and I felt that I was sad because that was. Part of my childhood, like growing up. So that was a really weird. And the same thing with Prince. Like I remember laying on the floor in the in the living room back in Missouri when you know the When Doves Cry video came on and when Purple Rain came on, and I was like, again, part of that, part of my childhood. So yeah. Literally when he died, I was like, it literally felt like another chunk of my childhood was just taken away, and it's you can't have that anymore.
The weird one.
Oh, see, I've already blocked all that out, so I feel like that's not going to happen.
Because you're emotionally unattainable.
That's the a true story.
You yell cream cheese in your soul.
My soul is made only of cream cheese.
The older I get, I cry at the draw. Commercials come on TV, for God's sakes, and I'm like, oh, it's so sad.
Oh, that's me around Christmas time. Like, you know, I try to be all Scroogey McDuck about Christmas time, but that fucking Maxwell House commercials with the jingle bells and the people coming home in the snow and the smell of coffee, I'm like, oh my God, I want to go home. And I realize that requires snow, me traveling at Christmas time. No, I'm done. I'm over it.
Settle down.
It also requires all those people to still TV. Be alive when you go home.
Well, yeah. There's enough of them. No. But I do have to say, one of the ones that surprised me, I think it was the timing, because it was right after my dad had died, was Nixon's funeral was not too long after my dad died. And I just remember like watching the family go through that, and it struck me as, I don't know if it was my own personal therapy, and I'm not so detached that I didn't understand that I really wasn't sad about Nixon. It was just watching a family lose a patriarch that I was. It really, like, I found it, and I thought everyone was very respectful, and I liked how they did it. And
I gotta say, I'm not real comfortable with this. I prefer you dead inside.
Oh, I'm the easiest girl in the world to make cry. Are you kidding me?
And yet still dead inside. You cry all you want, but yeah, just stay dead.
Yeah, still dead inside. I weep at Nixon's funeral.
I did not cry at Nixon's funeral.
But like I said, and
Annette's trying to get your attention.
Okay, screaming silently. I got you, Annette. Yes.
We're paying attention. Now wait for 3 minutes because there's a delay.
It's only a 60-second delay. 45, something like that.
All right, well, let's start that. You want to play that?
Are we there? Are we ready for this? Stand by.
I never understand how we talk for this long.
And yet?
Have you met you? My God.
I have nothing at all an hour and a half later.
How did we get here? How did what? I don't know.
Where am I?
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Oh, okay. So, as Anand says, we all talk about gay rights and trans rights equality for everyone, but what do you think is the last barrier we need to pull down as a human species to achieve that? What do we need to see to know that finally we are accepted?
All religion must go away.
And I have a different answer. I have an A and B to this, and when will coming out become irrelevant? Well, see Kimmy Schmidt episode like 8 about coming out. That was absolutely hysterical. But, so, Kat, your thoughts? Vulgar or otherwise?
Or otherwise. Okay, so, there's three questions here. Last barrier to pull down for the human species to achieve true equality for everyone.
Right.
Oh, I don't think they're ever willing.
Oh, okay. In other words, when will coming out become relevant?
And to me, those are two different ones.
Yeah, and I think they're one before the other. Coming out becomes irrelevant when... I think coming out becomes irrelevant when we're no longer concerned with what other people do in their own lives. Like, when we're no longer interested in watching. And I don't know that that'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll become... And already has become less relevant because it's less of a shock.
Right.
More and more people know someone who's out, mm-hmm. and so it's not as big of a deal. You know, you can...
The more you know.
The more you know, and the more homos you know.
Yeah, yeah. The less likely you are to buy into, like, blatant discrimination, because you're going to be like, well, yeah, I believe all that, but I like this person, and I like
come
this
out,
person.
Come out wherever you are. Absolutely. So it becomes less of a shock the more people you know, and the more just accepting of the idea that you are in general. Like a friend of mine, her, I think, cousin has astonishingly grown up to be of drinking age and wandered into my bar one day and was like, hey, do you remember me from like Christmas Eve, like 10 years ago and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I thought about it for a minute. And I'm like, little gay Tate, you know, because that's what we called him, because he was the gayest little boy who played the viola.
Of course you do,
at a
darling.
Family Christmas Eve party. And so, you know, we all, of course, like, stood in the kitchen.
What's next, a fashion show?
Stood in the kitchen drinking our craft beer and smoking our cigarettes going, oh, little gay Kate. He's little gay Tate. He's going to come out in about 10 years. And sure as shit, about 10 years later, he wanders
to the
in.
Minute we called it.
I think it's funny. He just recognized you right off the bat.
He knew exactly who I was. Yeah.
Or maybe he knew where you were, and he secretly sought you out.
You know, Kat
he had
Carlson,
your Tumblr number.
Kat Carlson is a local household name. So it could be.
It is.
Very
it
local.
Could be. To answer the bigger question, I think we would have to change the outlook of the entire human species. There has to stop being a them.
Oh.
It has to all be us. And as soon as we can identify everyone that we run across as somehow part of us, then, like, true equality won't exist, because there's always going to be somebody to overcome and somebody to subdue and somebody to, you know what I mean? There's always going to be a them.
And I always thought the way to world peace was for us to discover another planet, and that way we would all
ooh,
be
common
us.
Enemy.
And then they would become them.
Sure.
Oh. So that Earth becomes a peaceful place. Aaron, you'll love that one. That's from my limited sci-fi watching as a child.
Nicely done.
And what I learned from Star Trek.
Tom Cruise taught me that.
Oh.
War of the Worlds. Yeah. So that's my answer. There has to be no more them. That has to be all people or us.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to be a pessimist on that, but I don't think we're ever going to get there.
Nobody said, is it possible? You said what would have to happen. That wasn't a question.
Okay.
It wasn't how do we do it.
I don't even have a has to happen, because I'm so on the train of religion does not unite. It just divides, because it is a very us and them. It's always an us and them.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't care if you believe in a sunflower as your savior. It's
really, Harold,
it's going to be
sunflower.
Us and them. All that. Oh, is that a thing from a movie?
Harold and Maude.
Oh, didn't know. See, I'm pulling stuff out of my ass I didn't even know I had.
Look at you go.
But no, I that divides so many things. And again, and I see it more and more when you're watching the election stuff. It's very interesting that you see the chokehold that all of these crazy religious right people have in politics. It's like all these Republican people, they're all standing up there like Cruz was. You know, it's all about all of this God-fearing this and this, that our country was built on this. That I'm like, no. No,
yep,
you're converging two different things that should have always been separate. And it's just causing strife, and it tears families apart, because people do come out and they decide, well, unless they're going to play the ignorance role like your mom did of just, I don't want to know, or I'm going to see it, or however you do it.
No one ever asked me to open my eyes before. That's a very common.
So if you're gonna,
it's how we made it through the 50s.
So if you're gonna just, you know, consciously deny that this person is gay over here, you're just gonna live your little sweet little life. But if you realize it, and your church says, oh, you can't, well then you divide up families, and it's just horrible for people.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're ever gonna get. I agree with what you say, though. As long as if there's an us and them, and them is on another planet, and we're striving together, you're right. Maybe there's a chance, but it's never gonna be equal. Nobody's ever. It's always there's a socioeconomic. There's always gonna be, unfortunately, it's always gonna be a skin color, because there's gonna be stereotypes. I just don't think you're ever gonna get away from that.
That's not true. We're all eventually gonna be a very nicely light tan.
Yeah. Evolution will take over with all that.
Right. But none of us will ever be around.
Yeah.
We won't get there, but
no. Or someday. Those carp aren't gonna get there either.
Yeah.
Fucking herpes.
Gets
you every time.
My first part of and I promised I would be able to see it, and now I can't. So the first part of that question, hold on, let me go back. Because on our big screens, we can't scroll down.
Yes, because there's no keyboard attached to any of that. Oh, thank you, Aaron, for being on the Clayton train of the anti-religion.
So the first part is about what barrier do we need to pull down that all human species to achieve equality? First, women have to be people. Like, that's the big issue at the door that no one ever bothers to look at. Is how many religions?
I wish I was people.
Degrade women. How many countries?
Young man, you
lead
are.
Them as yeah. Little Kevin, you are. Even the service king thinks so. But I think I think that's one of the biggest barriers on a constant basis, and it doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. No. Like, women still are still begging for rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting the right to drive, to wear whatever the hell they want to. And you can go country to country and find an example of, like, where it is. Like, the Catholic Church is horrible to women. You know, mm-hmm. the nuns live in poverty, but the priests are sitting there living like kings, driving Jaguars. I mean, for real. No. So, like, what is this? So I think that's the thing that has to come down. And that plays into feminine roles.
And to start that, women have to stop doing it to each other.
Oh,
women
definitely.
Have to stop discriminating against each other. I literally had a conversation with a woman, like, my age, intelligent, someone like I adore and respect, who says, gosh, I'm just not sure if this country is ready for a woman president. And I was like, are you kidding? You said that out loud.
Yeah.
Stop saying that out loud.
The fact you even think that.
Right. The fact that, and she's like, no, not me. I'm totally all for it. I'm like, no.
You said it out loud.
Stop saying it out loud.
Yeah. You're giving it credence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you just, I mean, time after time, you just run into it, and in society after
everywhere.
Society.
Sure.
And sometimes we as a nation just turn a blind eye to another nation that's doing it because they have oil or something. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. you're shitty. You're right. Shitty people. So, and I think that plays into the femininity of men, where then the gay man is then degraded down to the woman status because he doesn't want to be a man. He wants to be in their minds.
Right.
Again, I said it out loud, so kind of giving credence to it. But
I won't hit the table anymore.
But it does hold up to that argument of the Madonna thing, like what it feels like for a girl. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still it's all those stories that they have where, you know, if the woman dresses up as a man, but the only time a man would dress up as like a woman, it has to be a comedy.
Has to be funny. Yep.
Yeah. It's got to be for comedy. It can't be for anything else. So that would be my
why
answer.
Why would anyone want to be a woman?
Right. Right. So that's. That's my part to that part. And then when does the coming out become irrelevant is... It's becoming more and more irrelevant. Like, we're kind of reaching that point of self-awareness and... like, you know, the coming out is just to make your statement, to say I'm not hiding in the shadows. But it's also to, like, let somebody know... Give somebody a little bit of hope, a little bit of courage somewhere that doesn't have that, that's in that insular mm-hmm. environment, that they can hear it like, oh my God, Neil Patrick Harris is gay.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be a magician. Like, you know, he's an actor. He's attractive. He has work. He's got value. People seem to like him. Like, it gives a little bit of validation to people who are like, you know, gays are going to hell. They're just sodomites. They're child molesters or all these scary things. You're like, or I could be like that nice guy that's in the Olympics diving. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Or I could be like the newscaster or half of CNN now. You know what I mean? Is
it's chock full of homos over
right.
there?
Right, and now it's the point of coming out where like you're having a presidential debate with like three different gay people doing moderating, like Don Lemon, Rachel Maddow,
mm-hmm.
and yep. And to me that was the big deal of him not coming out. And I can't remember when Anderson Cooper came out, but he hosted a debate
before he came out. Yeah,
and I was like, like no, you need to be. And now that he's doing debates. It's a non-issue, but they have to know.
Well, and gay marriage was a hot button issue at the time.
Yeah, when it could have made a difference. It turns out we won the court battle anyways, because
Anderson, we don't need you that badly.
But now he's there, and you notice like the gay issue kind of doesn't get a lot of play because there's gay people all around you. Like you mm-hmm. can't demonize them. Like Karl Rove's not going to get on there and talk about Sodom, and Pat Buchanan's not going to show up, and like because he wants to go on TV and sell his platform. So even they've learned like. Now we got to take this to a backroom meeting. Like.
Right.
So I think that's what does it. Like, you should accept people whether they're black, white, Klingon, or even female.
That's fair.
That's very
Futurama cool. ahead of its time.
But I really do think that in that order, like the women thing, really needs to be addressed as a world like. And they're the majority of the population. That's the part that I can't figure out. Like, ladies, fight back.
There's so much I can't figure out in the world.
Right. And how are we the last, besides Russia, I think we're the last industrial nation that will have...
That hasn't had a woman president?
Because I don't think Russia or China has, but, like, India has, England has. I don't know about France. Germany, Frau Merkel is still there.
Frau Merkel.
Frau Merkel, my personal hero.
Here's when the rest of the world elected their first female leaders.
I like this.
Oh, I love the Huffington Post. Sri Lanka, 1960.
Sri fucking Lanka.
Oh, I see. It's a slider.
We've got a slider.
Wait, how do I work your timeline, Huffington Post?
And Annette, I know so little about India besides what I see in movies, unfortunately. But, like, how is the coming out there? Like, I know gay Indian men here, but I don't know.
India elected their first leader, woman leader, in 1966.
Annette Indira Gandhi?
Uh-huh. Israel in 1969, Golda Meir.
Oh, Golda Meir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Annette, we're asking, like, we don't.
Argentina in 1974.
Who? Her name wasn't Carlotta or something like that, was it?
No, you're thinking of
Carlotta Sayles. She was a commercial actor.
Maria Estela Isabella Martinez de Peron.
But I knew she was a Peron.
She was a Peron.
Yeah, and that was my question to Nancy.
Margaret Thatcher became prime minister in 1979.
I feel like France has had one.
That same year, Portugal and Bolivia also had female leaders. Dominica in 1980, along with Iceland. Norway in 1981. Malta in 1982. The Philippines in 1986. Pakistan, 1988.
Oh, that was always a shocking one.
Lithuania, 1990, joined by Nicaragua and Haiti. Bangladesh, 1991. France, 1991. Ireland, 1990.
There's your France.
Miss France.
Rwanda, 1993.
Fucking Rwanda.
Canada, 1993.
Who? What's her name?
Kim Campbell.
Oh, yes.
Became North America's first female head of government.
She's on Politically Correct all the time. So, and that's one of those things, like, as far as global, like,
Many countries. I could name so many. Finland, in the year 2000.
We're getting to know the global world kind of slowly through media, but I don't know what the barrier would be in India or in countries in Africa. Like, I'm not sure what would have to be, you know, is it religious? Is it cultural? Like, I know that, you know, in Europe they're fighting one thing, in America we're fighting another thing, so I don't know what the universal Band-Aid would be for it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of the fight that each culture has to go through on their own, because I know, like, in the South, that's a whole other thing, in the Black community, that's a whole different different topic of coming out, that they're kind of a little bit behind in the culture. The Southern culture is a little bit further behind as far as coming out is. It's all cultural. So I'm not sure if there's one, how it would work everywhere. I don't know if there's an answer to that, but I would probably go with the get rid of religion probably first, and sure, like cultural stigmas. But I think religion would be the first thing that would have to go.
And it's empathy. It's if you know somebody.
Oh yeah.
Right.
It's harder to persecute somebody that you know.
The more you know, that always helps. Yeah.
That's true.
And unfortunately, there's violence. There's people in countries that are being thrown off buildings. I don't think that the same things that happen in the U.S. are going to happen in a country where someone's being thrown off a building.
There are plenty of people that should be thrown off buildings.
Yeah, that's somewhere that puts us they're a few years behind. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to come to India and research it and find out, but I don't know enough about the culture.
Well, she'd probably give you an open invitation.
Yeah.
They would just welcome you with open arms, bare arms.
Yes. It helps if your leaders do it, though. I think that makes a big difference. Obama coming out for gay marriage was a big thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that every speech that Bernie and Hillary give has LGBT in it, that opens a lot of minds.
Which is hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. There's a lot of things that are hard to say. Maybe next week we'll all be together, all four of us in the studio. We'll find out. Tune in next week and find out. By the way, coming up in 2 weeks, our 200th show. Show 263 is coming very rapidly. So we're not sure what we're going to do with it, but tune in. Find out. It'll be exciting for all of us. Like, maybe you will care to listen. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.